Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday, September 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, as city officials attempt to remove the homeless encampment along the Ben Franklin Parkway, more wood barricades could be seen being put up against the metal fencing that stretched across 22nd Street and the outer lanes of the parkway. Wednesday was the third deadline given to the city for occupants to vacate the site and the one at 21st and Ridge Avenue as well, but it came and went with the encampment still standing. Clergy and outreach teams made attempts to enter, with outreach groups emphasizing that there are beds and resources available for people, but they were turned away. Instead, people in the encampment appear to be fortifying their position and calling for more supporters to join them. The city called the situation untenable and urged for a peaceful resolution, but they will go back out, but they will not go without housing, they're saying. Kevin Jeremiah of the Philadelphia Housing Authority said the option of just turning over keys to vacant property is not a viable option. Mayor Jim Kenney said the city is discussing various options. The Sixers' proposal to redevelop Penn's Landing, including the building of a new arena, was not selected on Wednesday.
Knew it.
The Delaware Waterfront Corporation instead chose the Durst Organization's plan out of the four proposals under consideration. The Sixers asked for $780 million to $885 million in public incentives for their $4 billion plan. The Wells Fargo Center is owned by Comcast, and the Sixers' lease in the building ends in 2031. The team opened its practice facility in Camden, New Jersey in 2016. Managing partner Josh Harris and co-managing partner David Blitzer have owned the Sixers since 2011. In February, Forbes valued the Sixers at $2 billion. Harris has a net worth of $4.8 billion per Forbes. The Durst proposal includes residential units, retail, a hotel, and open public space. However, the proposal offers much less parking than the Sixers proposal did.
Did you hear rumors that they're going ahead perhaps with a $1 billion version of the Purple Orchid down there?
Hey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which I think would be.
Nicest strip club ever.
Goes from the Harry Donut to the Harry Croissant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a higher grade of clientele.
Wow.
So that is off the table, but now they'll talk to the Durst organization and they'll come up with whatever plan that they're going to do. So we'll see if that even happens.
All right.
Ben Salem police have released surveillance video of a suspect wanted for taking a photo of a woman in a dressing room. It happened on Saturday at 12 p.m. at the Goodwill on Street Road. The female victim told police that she was trying on clothes in the dressing room when she saw a cell phone appear underneath the door.
Did you see the footage?
Yeah. Oh.
It's the slimiest.
Yeah. It's so disgusting.
It's so pathetic of the guy doing it. He's walking along. You see him from the back, dips down with his phone under the bottom of the door. So the door has clearance between the floor, in the try-on room. Dips it under, pulls it out, and walks
away. But he does it twice. He comes back. Yeah. He comes back again. And there's actually, if you know this person, he's got a hat on, so you can't fully see his face.
He's fully lit up, though.
But if you know this person, you could look at this and identify him. So make sure you look at the video.
You know, he went back to his buddy's place. Dude, he got some great stuff at the Goodwill store.
Yeah. Some
Goodwill poontang.
Oh, my God.
Goodwill trim.
Stupid.
Wow.
So there's clear video that was captured of the suspect putting his cell phone under the door where the victim was located.
Wow.
Immediately after the incident, police say the victim saw the suspect walking at a fast pace out of the store. The suspect is described as a white man with tattoos on his forearm. He was wearing a hat, a black T-shirt, gray shorts, and blue and orange sneakers. I know, you're watching the video.
It's pathetic.
I'm looking at him. I'm looking at his age. There's porn.
Yes!
There's porn. Don't violate people's privacy like that.
He's Preston. It's on the phone he's using to take the pictures. He could just call it up on his phone.
This dude
it's abundant.
He's going to get busted. He has ruined a good portion of his life.
He's sullied Goodwill.
You idiot. You sullied Goodwill, for Christ's
sake. That's bad will.
Goodwill.
There's so many levels that this is wrong on.
Oh, did you just say that's bad will?
It's bad will.
And he's not even wearing his face mask right. His nose is sticking out.
Preston, when he takes his second series of porn pictures, he's going the wrong way. The yellow arrows clearly indicate.
You're right.
He's breaking all kinds of rules.
Oh, my God.
What a
scofflaw.
Anyone with information is asked to contact the Ben Salem Township Police Department. In sports this morning.
Last action number.
The Phillies were off yesterday and opened up a 7-game series against the Marlins in Miami tonight. The series will feature 2 doubleheaders and a total of 7 games over 5 days. Jake Arrieta will get the start tonight for the Phillies. The first pitch is scheduled for 6:40. Lane Johnson, the Eagles' all-pro right tackle, hasn't practiced since August 23rd, and head coach Doug Peterson was unable to say whether Johnson will be able to play in Washington in the season opener on Sunday. Johnson suffered a lower body injury on the 6th day of training practice, and the Eagles have listed him as day-to-day ever since. Last month, Peterson said he wasn't concerned with Johnson missing the opener, but yesterday he said Johnson will be limited later in the day to individual drills at the first practice of the week, and his status for Sunday is unknown. Kickoff on Sunday against Washington is set for 1 o'clock. The NFL season begins tonight with the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Houston Texans. Kickoff is at 8:20. In last night's NBA playoff game, the Toronto Raptors beat the Boston Celtics to force a Game 7. Kyle Lowry hit a jump shot with 11.7 seconds left, and the Raptors beat the Celtics 125-122 to win Game 6 in double overtime. In the Western Conference, the LA Clippers beat the Denver Nuggets. Kawhi Leonard has the Clippers a win away from the franchise's first ever trip to the Western Conference Finals. Leonard finished an assist shy of his first playoff triple-double, and the Clippers won 96-85 in Game 4 to take a 3-1 lead in that series. And in the NHL, Nikita Kucherov scored with 8.8 seconds left to give the Tampa Bay Lightning a 2-1 win over the New York Islanders in a 2-0 series lead in the Eastern Conference Final. Game 3 is tomorrow night in Edmonton. And we have like a little special end to sports, because I got a text this morning.
Oh, please share.
From Jackie Bam Bam.
Oh, I knew it. Okay.
That says, Romano, you got to say this for me in your sports report today. Crush it and say, the beauty on duty is taking over. Long live Little Richard. Now, what Jackie's talking about is that the Hank Williams Jr., all my rowdy friends, are here on Monday night. We'll replace the late Little Richard's Rip It Up as the new Monday Night Football theme song. So Little Richard's song is now going to be the new theme song.
Okay, I got you. All right. So thank you, Jackie Bam Bam.
Yes.
That's it.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kat. You crushed it, by the way.
Crush it.
Blow it up on Blabbermouth.
Yeah. All right, we welcome you to a Thursday morning, and we have a few things that are going on today. We have some guests that will be joining us. So we'll start with a young woman named Caitlin Bristow. She is promoting Dancing with the Stars. She was on The Bachelorette. Right? Yes. Okay, so she is now.
It took me a while to figure that out.
Dancing with the Stars. So we'll talk to Caitlin later on today. Of course, we got to ask her what she thinks about Carol Baskin being in it.
Yes, yeah.
Which is a bit of a train wreck, but the exact type of thing they want for that show. And we're also going to have on the program drummer of the band Korn, Ray Luzier. He is going to be a part of this Neil Peart tribute that is taking place Saturday night. It's with the magazine Modern Drummer. And very much looking forward to it. So happy we're getting Ray on, man. I saw him for the first time live at the MMRBQ.
I remember you going off about it.
Yeah, he was drumming for Jonathan Davis. I was never a Korn fan.
Yeah.
And so I went out to see Jonathan Davis because we've had him in the studio before. He's a very nice guy, and I wanted to see his performance.
Yeah.
I could not take my eyes off of Ray Luzier. He was just, he stole the show as far as I was concerned.
You sent us a YouTube video last night because I was watching it, and it's bizarre. You know, I don't know what's going on, but I know it was a little hypnotic.
Yeah.
You know?
He's very visual and kinetic in the way he plays. He's just really intense. He's, you know, like a prog metal drummer, but he does all these flourishes while he's playing, which is like
cool.
You can't stop watching him.
No, and he was doing them like on like weird time signatures as well, that, or at least it appeared to me as he's like, you know, throwing the stick in the air and then grabbing it and then hitting the drum, you know, in beat and all. I was
making a sandwich.
That's hard. One-handed?
And trimming the crust off.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him about that, those tosses that he does, the tricks that he does. He's pretty amazing. But we're going to talk to him. He's getting ready for this tribute. A lot of famous drummers are a part of it, so it's cool that we'll have him on around 10 o'clock this morning. So we have those things more. We got some stuff to give away. The Jurassic Quest is coming up. Maybe we'll have a chance for you to win tickets. In fact, I will do that properly today for the stupid question. I gave away the wrong thing yesterday. But we'll get to it. And encapsulating all of this as well is the Back to School A to Z, the homeschool edition. I don't even know where we are.
Do you know what I heard coming in? Or what? Not while I was here doing show prep. roll with the changes.
Okay. Yes. Yep. That's right.
Yep.
And I heard before that, I heard some Chuck Berry was a rollover Beethoven. Yeah, so yeah. We're in the rolls, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we're finishing the rolls next.
Okay. So we'll have our last rolling song next. And the A to Z continues, and we're happy about that. Sponsored today by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Pennsylvania's number one casino, must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. I got a big stack of entertainment stories to run by you and some giveaways. So stay where you are. We'll be right back.
Hear Preston and Steve. You can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to do the super question. Going to give away today a carload pass for up to four people to Jurassic Quest, which is this drive-through thing at Wells Fargo Center. It's a life-size dinosaur exhibits.
Yeah, cool. It looks cool.
All right, so the question that I have concerns the prime meridian.
Oh.
All right, it's considered the starting point for time zones. So here's my question. Which structure located in England is considered to be the home of the prime meridian? Okay, which structure located in England is considered to be the home of the prime meridian?
I've seen said structure.
215-263-WMMR. Well, then you can't answer, sir.
I know. I disqualify myself.
All right. We'll go through the birthdays while we're waiting for your call. Today is Thursday, September 10th. Ryan Phillippe has a birthday today. He's 46 years old.
I was just watching that movie, 54. I think that one of the first movies I saw him in. It is so awesomely terrible.
It is. It's horrible.
Terrible.
Yep.
But it's great.
And it's also Guy Ritchie's birthday today, the director.
Yeah.
What all has he done?
So the Sherlock Holmes movies, Two Smoking Barrels,
Snatch.
Yeah.
The Gentleman. Gash. Did you guys watch that one yet? The Gentleman with Matthew McConaughey.
No, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, is I it enjoyed good? It.
Yeah, it's right in his milieu, right? It's criminal.
It is. I gotta look up what milieu means, but the way you used it in a sentence, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah.
But as I was watching it, Steve, I had to, like, I don't even know. A half hour in, I'm like, all right, A, do I know what's going on right now? And B, am I...
Did I make a boom?
And B, am I enjoying this? And when I got to the end of it, I was like, okay.
Okay, yeah, I've had movies like that.
It's all over the place, but eventually it all sort of, you know, it's like a crescendo.
He's a good kinetic director case. Like in the scenes in Sherlock Holmes when Sherlock Holmes is fighting and he's in his mind, he's planning out the attack and the movements. It's good.
That movie.
Very competent.
He is 52 today. We also today celebrate the birth of Colin Firth.
The birth of Colin Firth.
See what I did there?
That was awesome.
Thank you, Jackie.
Blowing up on Blabbermouth.
And it is actually a big birthday for him today. He is 60 years old.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. And took it to another level in Kingsman, The Secret Service. I saw the trailer. I'm like, looks like a good movie. Let me go check it out. It was the first R-rated film we took my son to, Parker.
Yeah.
He was like 13 at the time or something.
That's a rite of passage.
We can go 13 or 14. And I was like, it took me by surprise. And I love when movies do that. You're like, I had no idea this was going to be this good.
I know. I love that. We just, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And the King's Speech as well, right?
Yep. Oh, man. What a great movie.
And he's working on a movie called The Kingsman Speech.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Where he delivers he has a speech impediment and he kills anyone who makes fun of him.
Well, you basically have there's a new Kingsman movie that starts before.
Yeah. It's the creation of the Kingsman.
I hope it'll be good.
He tells the story in the movie, but they'll do that. But Steve, the time you did the King's Speech, which has been come to known as.
He says, oh, some of the improv that we as a nation have been come to known as.
That movie is so good.
It's fantastic.
Yep. So he's 60 today, Colin Firth. It is his birth. Also, a big birthday today, turning 70 years old, is Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
One of the
great guitar player, terrible. Horrible interview.
And it's not because He's just not conversive.
He's not. I, a long, long time ago, earlier on in my radio career, I was excited to have him on the phone, and it was a lame interview back then. It was a lame interview when we had him on a couple of years ago.
It's not that he's not nice.
No.
He's just not. He's not a talker.
Great guitar player.
He talks with his axe.
70 years old today. It is also another musician's birthday. Danny Hutton, who is one of the singers of Three Dog Night, a band I've always loved. And he turns 78 years old today.
So Three Dog Night is featured in that Paul Williams documentary because he wrote a couple of their hits.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
By the way, Mama told me not to come. This
is
the craziest
party. Is it what it says it
is? I don't know, but I
think
know.
Your dad would tell you that. It was the prequel to Pulling Out.
Oh, my God. All right, happy 78th to Danny Hutton today. Philip Baker Hall, great actor. Movies like Boogie Nights, Magnolia. He was on Seinfeld. He was the library cop. Bruce Almighty. He is 89 years old today. Supermodel Coco Roca.
Coco Roca?
I have no idea who that is. She's 32.
Coco Roca.
Mikey Way of My Chemical Romance is also celebrating a big birthday today. It's the big 4-0 for Mikey Way.
Jeez, that's wild.
I know. Happy birthday to him. Director Christopher Columbus. Did the first two Harry Potter movies.
Did, and sort of set the tone. He was also one of the producers to make sure. To me, that movie series pulls off an almost impossible feat, going across different directors all that time and managed to keep it consistently, tonally the same.
Yep, exactly. 62 today. Randy Johnson, the big unit, major league pitcher, is 57 today. And then the last birthday, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today.
Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter.
That's the whole thing.
That is. I've never seen that.
By the way, he's 71.
We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but now, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
It starts to unravel.
Sure. There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
Sting is going to do, it's a video, Sting video.
Poor guy. What is,
for credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, go, go.
In five, four, three.
You can't do it.
That's tomorrow, and that is a...
In five,
I love that.
Four, three.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Come on,
man. We'll do it live!
By the way, okay, so right before that, Steve, you hear his, the mic, that's when he stood up and it was still attached.
And his
microphone was still attached to him.
And his quasi Bill O'Reilly pompadour bounces back.
And that's what pushed him to say, F it.
Can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay, right there.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I would walk over at that point and say, you're doing an entertainment show. You are an entertainment reporter, and you've never heard the phrase play us out ever?
And he almost had it at the end there. He goes, and we leave you with, and then he stops. He could have said, we leave you with
Sting.
Yeah.
And that was it. But no.
Thing sucks.
Did he ever address that?
He did.
Four, three.
Tries again.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
And there you go. That's how you do it. Mm-hmm. He's 71.
He just didn't understand what play. And you can even hear the producer going, that's a phrase you've never heard?
And also, he's afraid to answer the question.
Yeah.
He asked him a question. And
play us out, you jerk off.
Oh, how do I answer this without making him feel dumb?
Exactly. Oh, happy birthday, Bill. let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Prime Meridian is the starting point for time zones, and which structure located in England is considered to be the home of the Prime Meridian. I will go to Matt for that answer. Hey, Matt, how you doing, bud?
Good, how are you?
Good. All right, Matt, what is the answer, the home of the Prime Meridian?
It is the Royal Observatory.
You are correct, though. In Greenwich. One moment, Matt. We are going to give you a Carlo pass of up to four people to Jurassic Quest. They've transformed the largest dinosaur exhibit into a Jurassic drive-through experience outside Wells Fargo Center, and it's from the safety of your vehicle, and you will encounter over 70 true-to-life-size dinosaurs while listening to a fun, educational, and immersive audio experience inside your car. It's open now through Sunday, and you can get tickets at JurassicQuest.com.
I've been there, too, Steve. I went a few years ago, and in Thor 2, in the Dark World, right, is the second one?
Yeah,
They feature that. Place in that movie when the crap hits the fan in London and all the like the ships from the other dimension start showing up in
that's
London.
There?
That's at the Prime Meridian. Yeah, it's neat. It's a cool place to visit. Yeah.
Nice. All right, so we're going to dive right into this. Although there are several rumors floating around, the real reason Keeping Up with the Kardashians is ending is because the Kardashians want to extend the family empire. Casey, you were thinking maybe they're going to start their own network.
All right.
Rumor has it, though, the family decided to pull the plug on the show after Kris allegedly sought $40 million to lock down a few more years. According to TMZ, sources close to family say that the Kardashians feel like that they are able to promote their brands on social media.
They're right.
And they don't need television anymore.
They could produce, they could promote their own show. They can own their show more fully. And so I wouldn't discount. I think Casey's idea might be right. They might be starting a their own network.
The ratings also played into their decision as well. The numbers were down, but they chalked it up to people watching in different ways, including streaming. Sources say that not one person or incident specifically ended the show. Meanwhile, sources say that the family is planning to stay off camera for a while and enjoy their lives.
Oh, we'll enjoy our lives if they stay off camera for a while.
While reassessing what's next for them.
It's hard
to believe they can stay away for a long time.
I agree. It's kind of vague, though, because you can't say, well, we believe that people are watching it in different ways. There are metrics that allow you to measure how people, they would know.
Yeah.
And the ratings have gone down for the show. After a while, it just runs its course.
Sure. But if they don't do the show anymore, are they going to stay as relevant as they are? I would imagine that their popularity, almost like I know it's a different story, almost like a Paris Hilton. Like, now she's just really just off the radar. Yeah, she's still got all her money and whatever else they do.
But she's not the juggernaut.
Yeah. Paris was singular. This is a quote unquote dynasty.
It really is.
And some people see them as our royal family.
Yes.
Yes,
I know. It's horrible. Yeah. Just be thankful for this slight break.
Yeah.
Do any of us follow any of them on social media?
You do, right?
I do not.
You know what? Because I liked a baby video and I was like, I think this is the first time I'm liking one of their photos. I think who's the lip girl?
Kylie.
Yeah, I think I follow her.
Kylie's lip kits.
I don't follow
any. If you look at the pictures, especially we were talking about yesterday, they re-released the first credit sequence from the first version of the show, and you see Kylie as a kid.
Mm.
So many, those family members literally, especially in Bruce and Caitlin's story, look nothing like they look like. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah. All right, I have some other things. Hilaria Baldwin is a mother of five now, she revealed on Instagram. She said, we had a baby last night. He is perfect, and we couldn't be happier. Stay tuned for a name. She and Alec, their new son, joins Big Brothers Romeo, Leonardo, Raphael.
Donatello,
yeah.
And Splinter.
And Splinter.
And Shredder. They need a bad one in there, too. Carmen and Ireland, Alec's daughters with ex-wife Kim Basinger.
Turtles on the Half Shell.
Hilaria has been open with her pregnancy journey after suffering two miscarriages.
And they just announced they're moving into the sewer system, Preston.
Nice.
That's perfect.
Yeah, another one, Casey Jones, April, all of them.
Amy Schumer has been diagnosed with Lyme disease. She revealed on Instagram on Tuesday. The 39-year-old comedian posted a childhood photo of herself fishing and shared that she was diagnosed with the disease over the summer, though she may have had it for much longer. She also asked her followers for advice. If you're not familiar, Lyme disease is transmitted to humans through an infected black-legged tick. And typical symptoms include fever, headache, fatigue, and skin rash called erythema migrans. And other celebrities who suffer from Lyme disease include Justin Bieber, Shania Twain, Avril Lavigne, as well as Yolanda and Bella Hadid.
Yolanda?
Yeah.
Yolanda?
So I guess.
I know Yolanda. I know that which one was really leveled with it? Was it one of the Hadids?
I think it was one of the Hadids. I don't know if it was
Yolanda
or Bella, but
yeah.
My friend was just diagnosed with it, and it's no joke. I mean, she's like...
I had it 2 years ago. It beats the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, is it possible to have it, because I know you can have it chronically, and to have it and have it for years and just chalk it up to other symptoms and like have it for 10, 12 years and not even know you have it?
I remember it was maybe 15, 20 years ago or so, or maybe a little further back, but hearing that it was chronic, it was permanent. Like you had it, you had it for good. So, but they've come up with treatments, thank God.
Yeah, you can take, obviously, proper medication, but it can resurface, and Steve, it can level you just as much the next time around as it the first time.
Is it something that lays, like, dormant? Yeah. And it can
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, here's a follow-up. Lily Allen and David Harbour got married shortly after obtaining a marriage license on Sunday. After reports of their license obtaining went wide, they shared pictures of a small reception following their Graceland Chapel ceremony. So they did that.
It's great.
Excellent.
He looks good. He lost. He took off a lot of weight.
He has.
David Harbour.
You're right. And this is according to the caption on his photos, which did include an Elvis Presley impersonator. God, I love him even more now that they did that. He said, in a wedding officiated by the king himself, the people's princess wed her devoted, low-born, but kind credit card holder with a beautiful ceremony lit by the ashen skies, courtesy of a burning state miles away in the midst of a global pandemic. He said refreshments were served at a small reception following, he added, of their In-N-Out burgers and fries.
That's what they had. Because we're looking at the burgers look really good.
He's the best. He is the best. Allen wore a white blazer styled Dior dress and black heels, and Harbour wore a classic suit. So congratulations to those two. That's great news. In a cover story with Variety magazine, Halle Berry is opening up about several defining moments of her career. And I have just a short little synopsis of a couple of those things.
How many are we talking?
Just two main things. Three, actually. Berry said that after a historic win of an Oscar, she thought that she'd be taken more seriously. She said, I thought, all these great scripts are going to be coming my way. These great directors are going to be banging on my door. But it didn't happen. It actually got a little harder. And apparently they call it the Oscar curse, which I had never heard of before.
No, she neither said, have I.
You're expected to turn in award-worthy performances every time after something like that.
Right. So. And if you go on to star or be a part of a movie that's less than what the Academy perceives as Oscar caliber.
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh.
One role that did emerge was her character Jinx in Die Another Day. And fans wanted a spinoff, but it was stalled because MGM didn't want to allocate the $80 million budget that it needed.
That is I love that Bond movie. Now, they throw everything at it, everything. I mean, it's basically an homage to all the years of Bond movies, but she's really good. Her character is excellent in that movie.
She said it was very disappointing about losing the Jinx movie. It was ahead of its time. Nobody was ready to sink that kind of money into a black female action star. They just weren't sure of its value, and that's where we were with them.
They had her come out of the water press. In fact, you remember all the coverage because she was wearing the same bikini that Ursula Andress wore in Dr. No.
She looked great in it, too.
She
also spoke about her experiences with as Storm in Bryan Singer's X-Men franchise. She said, Bryan is not the easiest dude to work with. She said, I mean, everybody's heard the stories. I don't have to repeat them and heard of his challenges and what he struggles with. Sometimes because of whatever he's struggling with, he just didn't always feel present. He didn't feel there. And we're outside in our little X-Men stage freezing our asses off in Banff, Canada with sub-zero weather and he's not focusing and we're freezing. You might get a little mad. Barry said, I would sometimes be very angry with him. I got into a few fights with him, said a few cuss words out of sheer frustration. When I work, I'm serious about that, and when that gets compromised, I get a little nutty. But at the same time, I have a lot of compassion for people who are struggling with whatever they're struggling with, and Brian struggles, she said. So,
yeah, we've heard. Look at what happened on Bohemian Rhapsody. They replaced him 90% of the way through the movie.
So that's out in Variety if you want to read the full.
Check it out.
Please do. That's her biggest fan. Ryan Reynolds has sort of resurrected the on-screen career of a beloved Hollywood icon in a new commercial for the launch of Mint Mobile's Unlimited plan, and he's brought back Rick Moranis, Lord Helmet, and many other things. Bob and Doug McKenzie, SCTV, tons of great movies.
Show the Kids.
And Ghostbusters. But he has been away from the big screen from any screen for over 20 years. He hasn't done anything.
He did, honestly, I think one of the most noble things you could do. His wife passed away from cancer, and he left the industry to raise his kids.
Yeah.
Wow, it was, you know, talk about a devastating loss, but he stayed true to it.
So we have the audio. I'm going to play this. Ryan Reynolds is standing in a mint field, because it's Mint Mobile, which I'd never heard of, by the
way. Neither have I.
But it must be regional. So anyhow, and he's standing there, and he introduces Rick, and here's the audio.
It's hard to believe that Mint Mobile has gone so long without an unlimited plan. So to introduce it, we brought in an actor we've all gone too long without. Rick Moranis.
So what do you want me to do? You want me to say something about Mint?
No, that would have been smart. But, no, it's $30, it's unlimited. It'll do just fine.
Sounds good. I really got to get a phone. So why am I here?
I'm just a huge fan.
Oh, stop it. Come on,
no,
stop it.
Seriously, massive.
That's it?
That's it.
Look. See ya.
That's it. It's great. So, though he has appeared in select television projects and lent his voice to Disney's pair of Brother Bear animated films, he's largely taken a step back from major acting roles the last 23 years. His last substantial film role came in 97 at the as the lead of the direct-to-video sequel Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. Though he's reportedly thinking about doing a return to that franchise for Disney's theatrical reboot.
He reprised his voice role as Lord Helmet for the Goldbergs.
Right.
Which
right.
is kind of funny.
So he may return, but that was cool to see him. Let's see. What else do I have here?
Stories.
Oh, yes, yes. Casey sent this to me yesterday. I was so excited. Fans are getting their first look at Denis Villeneuve's take on the classic Frank Herbert novel, Dune. The film includes Timothée Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, I have a total crush on her, Oscar Isaac, Stellan Skarsgård, Zendaya, Jason Momoa, Josh Brolin, Dave Bautista, and Javier Bardem. It's the first of two films based on the original. It's scheduled to drop on December 18th, 2020. So it'll be along before you know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. I love, Steve and I love the Lynch.
Yes. Yeah.
Directorial version. And remember, there was a, it was on Sci-Fi.
They did is a 6-hour version of it. And I thought that was excellent as well.
Yeah.
You need a lot of room to tell the story.
William Hurt was in there.
Yeah.
And you lent that to me.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it. It didn't have the coolness that the movie did, but I love the story. So.
It told a lot more of the story.
Yeah. And now, if they're going to do two films and the effects that are available, this should be fantastic. And I love the tone of this trailer. It looks like Timothée Chalamet looks perfect as Paul. So
he's just so beautiful. He's the it guy right now, isn't he?
Yeah,
women love the hell out of him.
Yep. And Paul was a kid in the story, which is why it's great to go with a young looking guy like this. Let's backtrack to the Kardashians for just a moment.
All right. Are they in Dune?
Well, no, they're not in Dune.
Look at the size of that worm. Get it some spice. That's a huge worm.
Do you have any spice?
Give it spice. I think it wants spice.
Oh my God, I love spice. No, it has nothing to do with Doom. Fans are wanting Kris Jenner to join Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. There's no way she'd do that.
You know what? They're
share
also
the
talking
spotlight.
They're also talking about Caitlyn Jenner joining.
Really?
I swear to God.
That might be a better.
That actually would be.
Well, yeah.
Is she a housewife?
No. But
none of them really are.
All right. I don't know.
Nick innocently asks.
Oh, God.
How do you get? No, listen, just go with it, man.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Radio Guy, that it don't satisfy your requirements.
Nick,
wear your baseball cap and shut up.
Nick watches porn and goes, I think they're really in love, guys.
I just want them to be reality.
Girl's got to get work. You know how expensive Jimmy Choo's and size 15 are?
So under a meme that said, when I see people post about Kris Jenner joining Real Housewives, it's not happening. Kyle Richards, Real Housewives Beverly Hills star, And Pal of Jenner commented, no, you never know. So
is that Kylie Richards?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Kylie Richards, not Kyle Richards. Hey, a few years ago.
So the way, by the way, yeah. person, Kylie Richards is Kim Richards' daughter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Her daughter is old enough to be one of the housewives? Because Kim was a housewife for a while. Uh-huh. Her boozing got way out of hand. So
I always loved her.
Me too. Yeah. Oh, God, did I have a crush on her. She had hair down past her butt.
Yeah.
She was just beautiful.
I like it that.
Hey, a few years ago, it seemed that The Walking Dead would outlive us all. But on Wednesday, yesterday, Scott Gimple and Angela Kang confirmed that the one-time TV juggernaut will come to an end with a 24-episode 11th season.
So have you been along all the way? I tapped out when they got to the whispering.
Yeah, I'm still on. I'm all caught up.
And after the Negan saga came to an end, I watched about five more episodes, and I'm like,
in my mind, I said, you're not killing this guy.
Yes!
If you're not killing, and I love him. It was silly. Kill him!
It was silly that, you know,
yeah.
some of the things they started to overlook as far as, living morally and
right,
so on.
Yeah. I was just knock like, it off.
Come on, man. This is, no, it's ridiculous. So anyhow, but, you know, some people are diehards and have stuck with it. The numbers have sagged quite a bit, but they're bringing it to an end. It was originally planned for 12 seasons at least, but over the years, enthusiasm has waned along with viewership. Now, I think that I might, since I know it's officially going to end, I might get on board and finish it. Finish all of it. So I may.
It's not bad. And also, like, Fear the Walking Dead, it took me a little while to get into that one. And so I'm almost caught up with Fear the Walking Dead as well. There's been, obviously, a little bit of crossover in both shows.
But, you know, for the first, like, six, seven, I mean, The Walking Dead was so consistently awesome.
Agreed.
I mean, you know, with the original cast and the additions, there was stuff. I think after Negan, that could have been the finale to the whole series.
Yeah.
Wrapping that up.
But the question is, and I doubt it, will they find a way to end all of this?
Negan supposedly becoming a sitcom character.
Oh, no way!
Totally Negan.
Oh, no way.
But I'm wondering if they find a cure
for
the whole.
That's so Negan.
That's so Negan.
Yes! Oh! That's so Negan.
All right.
Is that how it goes? Yeah. Isn't that the whistle?
That's so Negan.
Oh, my God. Lucille, get in here.
We have some convincing to do.
It'd be great if they turn it into like a Brady Bunch type of thing where Negan marries somebody
else.
They bring in a whole family all of a sudden and he has
so he has all the kids down on their knees.
Yes. With somebody didn't do the dishes. He's got to bash one of them's head in.
Now you've all made Lucille very angry.
That's so Negan. Oh, my God.
Now, Peter, look at the wall.
Look at the wall!
All right, so, yes, in this article it says, droves of new characters have consistently failed to connect with the audiences the way that Rick Grimes and the original crew did. Ratings have sagged for years. The show finally fell below 3 million viewers this year. Perhaps because of this, AMC has invested more and more in its offshoots from the flagship series to reported Rick Grimes movie trilogy, spinoffs including Fear the Walking Dead, which is now in its sixth season, and upcoming series The Walking Dead World Beyond, and anthology series Tales of the Walking Dead. And now there's another new spinoff on the way. They announced a new show for 2023 starring Norman Reedus as Daryl and Melissa McBride as Carol in their own story arc.
Yeah, they go around and try different fast food places.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Dine-ins, drive-ins, and
dead people.
Dine-ins, drive-ins, and dead people. Steve, you've opened up a whole network.
I know, it's unbelievable. Can we say that There might be over milking this.
It may be, and but maybe they're also looking at it. Yes, over milking for sure. Yeah. But maybe they're looking at this. Maybe this story arc, which I had always been waiting for, a cure to the zombie problem. Maybe this is life as we know it from here on out. You know, as far as that story goes. So there, I don't know.
I remember. So the Carol, you know, the badass she became.
Yeah.
And the episode with this with the psychotic girl. That episode, do you remember where she's...
Little girl.
The little girl and her little sister.
She wants her little sister to live forever.
Oh, yeah, that was
it messed
up.
It is one of the most powerful hours of television I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was a hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so they're looking to end The Walking Dead, but continue on with some other, even more spinoffs. All right, we're ready for the clips. After waking up in a morgue with newly found superpowers, an orphaned teen is recruited by demon-hunting nuns in Warrior Nun. In this clip, star...
She's got a club foot, too.
Smells like butterscotch.
Exactly.
Star Alba Baptista discusses what viewers can expect from her character. Here we go.
We start with her tasting freedom for the first time in her life as she lived in an abusive orphanage most of her life before we begin the episode, and in a sort of a prison of her own body and mind, so she can become quite reckless with her ambitions due to just wanting to live everything in the first, you know, at once. So she's going to be very unpredictable.
Warrior Nun is streaming now on Netflix. Here's the next clip. In Love Guaranteed, a hopeless romantic teams up with a struggling lawyer to sue a dating website that promises positive results. In this clip, Damon Wayans Jr. talks about choosing this role.
For me, what attracted me to the character was that he's obviously a wounded soldier as far as love goes. And I think that is the reason why none of these relationships are working for him. None of these potential dates are working because he's still not over his ex. And then Rachel's character comes into the picture, and that kind of starts his journey of moving on.
And then Love Guaranteed is streaming now on Netflix as well. That's it. That's what I have for you, your entertainment report. I had so much, I even left some stuff out.
Wow.
We'll catch up tomorrow.
Unbelievable.
Okay. We have a few things going on this morning as far as guests go. We have Caitlin Bristow. She was The Bachelorette. Now she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. We'll talk to her. Drummer Ray Luzier, who is from the band Korn, as well as many other projects, is playing in the Neil Peart tribute this weekend with Modern Drummer magazine. So we're going to talk to him as well. And then we'll sprinkle some stuff in between all that. And amongst all of it will be the A to Z Homeschooled Edition. We are in the R's. We'll come back with music from that list in just a moment. So stay with us this morning.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Can't find another reason why this one hurts. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Real quick, I do a shout out. I got this email from my friend Lindsay, and she wants me to give a shout out to Kelly, who teaches third grade. She didn't tell me Kelly's last name. She didn't tell me what school she teaches at. So Kelly, all teachers named Kelly that teach third grade. No, she's been having a rough go of it. So we want to wish her the best. And I actually did meet her one time. I went to the school to wish her a happy birthday. I did this as a favor, and she was so excited. So Kelly, hang in there, and here's a shout out for you. And real quick, Nick, I think somebody had sent this person, Emily, had sent this as well. It's a GoFundMe setup. Her mom had passed away. They had already done, we had helped out apparently a couple of years ago because her little sister had passed away and the family needed help. Yeah, her mom died of pancreatic cancer. So there's a GoFundMe that's set up. And that's from Emily McAfee. So I just wanted to point that out. You can go to PrestonSteve.com. And on the community page, you can see where people are needing some assistance. And great organizations that need help are on there as well. And speaking of that, I got this other email, and this will be my last shout out for now. It's from Harry. It says, Harry? he's been listening to MMR since the 70s. I said, I've been to camp out every year since you guys came to MMR. Every year, I up my game by doing more. I had two goals for the past years. One, get 3 tons of food, and two, find a cop who will give me a ticket for being overloaded. I have a few of my grandkids help with the shopping, and we go down and see the show. We've been the largest contributors for about 6 of the last 8 years for the day we come down. I want to give a huge shout out to the people at Harvest Ministries, and they're located in Bensalem at the Cornwells United Methodist Church. All through this, throughout this pandemic, they've been handing out food 2 days a week and it says for food and 1 day a week for produce. They have had up to 350 cars waiting in line. And the heat waves and the rain all through that. Where do they get the food? Well, some of it comes from Philabundance. Where do they get some of that from? The camp out. The only person who I know who works there is Joan Jordan. So if you could give her and the crew a shout out, I would appreciate it. He said, when I saw the cars lining up along the side of the road, I had to take a video to send to my grandkids to show them where the food we delivered finally ends up. We will see you again this year. Tell the cops, Harry says. So here's a shout out.
That's great.
And keep in mind, we have the Save the Date information for Camp Out for Hunger 2020 available at PrestonandSteve.com. Some of the details is going to be November 16th. It's going to be a little bit early this year, November 16th. To November 20th. So it will be the week before Thanksgiving, not the week of Thanksgiving. We normally do it the week after Thanksgiving, but it's going to be the week before Thanksgiving. And we're working on how that's going to look this year. It's obviously like every other charity event and every other outdoor activity or walk or whatever you'd like to call it. Going to be a little bit different this year, but we're going to rely on your help. The blood drive looked different this year.
It did.
It was a great success.
It really worked. And as we move along, things start to change. So we have plans in place to remain as fluid and adaptable as possible. The one thing we absolutely have to have as a constant is you, because you guys make it work.
So more details coming in the near future as we meet and get that stuff together. I'd like to share a personal story right now, if you don't mind.
Do we need music, mood music, sad music, happy music, walking on sunshine?
No,
or?
No, it's a sad thing, but I'll right. just, I think I can paint the picture.
Okay,
so.
All right.
No.
Peter, look at the wall.
That's so neat. I was, our sink was filled with dishes the other day.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not that. That's not the part of it, so.
I thought that was it.
No. Sad. And as I was getting ready to do the dishes, I looked in our cupboard, and I'm like, okay, maybe some of this stuff can go, because we were just, we have too much. And so I saw in there this dish. It's a small bowl. It's like a baby bowl.
Yeah.
And it's a Bob the Builder bowl. It's plastic. We have had it since Parker was a baby. But it's just one of those things that's never moved out during the rotation of our plates and bowls and all that, so we would still use it.
So it was purchased for Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was still being used, still in good shape.
Right.
And I was looking at it, I'm like, you know what? This is one of the last baby items remaining that we would still use for whatever reason. I'm like, you know what? I need to put that away. I need to, that one has lasted the longest. So I want to hang on to that.
Right.
So I'm like, I told Rochelle, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put this down in the bin of things that I saved just for sentimental value.
And you're very good with that stuff. And as a whole, you all make sure to have pictures and things or keepsakes that you remember things by. So this is another step in that.
Yeah, and I don't keep everything.
Right.
I keep something here and there just to have a little bit along the way. So I'm looking at this and I go, you know what? Someday this is going to break in the dishwasher and I'm going to be upset about it. So I should put it downstairs. So I set it aside, and then later on I was taking some other things in the basement. Okay, I'll take this downstairs as well. And there was a box I had in one hand. I had this in the other. And so I take it down, and I'm going into the unfinished side of our basement, which is where I have bins of different things. It's all our storage area. And I had, like I said, I had a box in one hand, and then I had the bowl in the other. And then I needed to grab something else. So I put the bowl in the same hand that was holding the box. Mm-hmm. And I reach over to move the box to put it on the shelf. And as I did, the bowl falls out of my hand.
Oh.
Did it break?
It's an unfinished, it's a concrete floor. And it shattered on the floor.
Shattered beyond glueability?
Well, listen, I could glue it back together. It's like in five or six pieces, but here's the deal. Part of the reason why I save these things is maybe some down the road, if my kids ever decide they're going to have children, I can say, hey, here's something from your childhood. Use this. You know what I mean?
I don't want that.
So if I glue it back together, we're never going to be able to put cereal in it and milk ever again.
However.
But here's the thing, though. I was taking it
expressly
to put it away for safety's sake.
That's terrible.
And I broke the goddamn thing.
I mean, there's so much irony here. And B, it's Bob the Builder, and you can't fix it.
Trust me, when I posted it on social media, everybody used that line. Scoop looking dizzy. Oh, my God.
You know what, though? This is like the plot of countless movies where someone is charged with protecting someone and inadvertently gets them killed.
Or it's losing the engagement ring or the wedding ring when you're the best man or whatever. You know, you have one job and you did it.
Look, Sid Wilder commented on your...
What did she say?
She said, no, you can fix it. Oh. Bob the Builder expects you to try.
I mean, Press, this is like a black fly in your Chardonnay.
It is. Yeah. It's like 10,000 spoons when you need a knife.
Yeah.
So here's what
meeting
I'd like.
The man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife.
Yeah, that's right. If you, I would like you to make me feel better. So I'm asking you as a favor, fans of the Preston and Steve Show, tell me your story of something similar that you did so I don't feel like a complete moron. I'm putting this away for safety's sake. And you break it. 215-263-WMMR. And here's the other thing. Okay, so I drop it. It shatters on the floor. I couldn't contain my emotions.
Did you cry?
I screamed.
Oh.
Curse words. And
you're not really like that quiet when that things like this happen.
No, not. Yes. Of course, I'm usually quiet. And so Rochelle comes flying down the stairs. She thought I broke my arm or something like that. I fell down. And she comes to see this, you know, this kid's bowl lying there shattered. But I just told her I'm putting this away so nothing happens to it. So she got it. She understood.
Shake it off, pussy.
But it was
listen, I understand that thing or that it's not the same for me. But I when I got my first large Batman, Ben Affleck Batman, and my brother-in-law had built a special. And this is a little different, I get it.
Sure.
But still, I had been looking at the pictures of it as it was coming, and it's big. Casey, you've seen it. I love it.
It's big.
And so we're putting it up on its stand. It weighs about 65 pounds. And I can hold it this way. I can hold it this way. But I sort of knew I couldn't hold it that way. And his head, you know, was magnetic, fell off, and the cowl broke off. And it was one of those things. I know it's not like a keepsake, but for me, I was completely devastated. But the break was clean enough that I could glue it back. So, in a way, that's my connection.
Right.
My cats don't have keepsakes.
No, but breaking something when it's brand new.
Yes,
that sucks.
We
definitely had that happen before. This is your brand new shiny thing that you haven't even had a chance to enjoy.
I've been waiting for this,
and you break it right away. But kind of an heirloom. Yeah.
It's much different.
Yeah, this thing's only 20 years old, Preston.
I'm so bummed out.
You know
what about when you store? So for example, this has happened too, where you store photos and a photo out, and wherever you stored it, somehow, there's a leak, or you don't know that part of the basement, there's been something. We did have that happen, a box full of keepsake stuff, my high school diploma, which I normally wouldn't give a rat's ass about, but at a certain point, I started to give a rat's ass about it.
Right.
And there was a flood from the water heater, and it effed up everything. Now, I didn't break it, but I can connect to it on that level.
Well,
more shallow.
I just got a text message, and I was going to mention this, but, like, you know, Chuck D'Amico had his childhood bowl.
That's
this
right.
This was his bowl that was, you know, over 40 years old, I guess, at this point. Bill Weston just threw it away.
Threw it
away.
He said nothing breaks a heart like losing a bowl.
Yeah, like, I would be like...
I'd never, ever forgive Bill for
what,
that.
No. Ever. If it means that much to you, you don't bring it to work and leave it in a community sink.
My shut your mouth.
You don't just throw things away that aren't yours.
There's a little bit of a point to what Kathy's saying.
You don't throw something away that's not yours.
I had a Bugs Bunny bowl that my wife got me when we first started dating. I was taking it to work, and I would clean out my bowl after I had the cereal and bring it back to my desk.
Of course. If something meant something to me, I would never leave it in a community space. I would actually never.
So this is Chuck's fault.
It's not a glad Tupperware, like disposable Tupperware. This is
something
like,
I don't own. I'm going to throw it out.
Yeah.
This looks like a keepsake. It will probably devastate Chuck. Let's throw it out.
It's a good thing that nothing will ever mean anything to you, Kathy.
Yes.
No, but like wow. It would go with me to my desk where, yes, if you took it off my desk and threw it out, no, not the same thing.
But her point is you're leaving it in a public space.
Grab a hammer and have
smash
it.
Smash away.
Here's the deal. Chuck,
like, for example. Kathy's nowhere near her car right now. It's lying out there.
Yeah.
Throw it away.
Chuck used that bowl every single day, by the way. So it's not like that bowl was sitting in the sink for days on end. It was, you know, there for minutes. Yeah.
When I saw your picture, though, Preston, I will say, I I was like, well, I mean, look at how old that is. Those kids don't care about that.
I care about it.
It
was sentimental for him.
Yeah. I used it. I mean, I would still use that.
I mean, time to throw that out.
For eating my tiny bit of Froyo, Kathy, I would put it in there. Let me go to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Snort Dorton.
Hey, Snort Dort.
Snort Snort Dort.
What's up, man?
So I graduated in 98. So I guess 96, 97 in pottery class, I made a coffee mug, and I made it with... The coating that you could drink out of it. So
yeah.
I kept it, used it on a weekly basis until, I guess, just maybe 6-8 months ago. I left it on the dash of my car while I was driving off, and I just snapped the whole piece off of it, and the handle broke and everything. I just about wanted to cry.
No, it is devastating. And you know what? I think you bring up a good point, Ryan. In fact, Preston, you could hyper-focus this whole conversation on bowls and mugs, things that, like, there was my favorite, and exactly to Ryan's point, there was a mug that my wife had gotten on one of her trips. She brought it back to me. I remember the moment she gave it to me. It's a perfect coffee and tea mug, and I loved it. And the handle just broke off, and I was putting it up to make sure I was putting it up back in the cupboard the right way so that the handle wouldn't hit the door. Yeah. And as I turned it around, I knocked it out and it broke on the counter.
Ryan, have you considered using like that magic putty or whatever and putting a new, handle on it? Because at least it's still usable. In fact, you could use it. Okay.
It's over.
A good chip broke out of the top of the mug, too. So I glued it and kept it for keepsakes, put it down in the basement with another pottery thing I made.
Okay.
But... You know,
it's not the same.
Thanks.
More special. Yeah.
It's not the same.
I had Steve. You're right about bowls and mugs because I had posted over the weekend just a picture of me. My wife bought me a Swedish chef mug. It says "Vert the Firk" on it, and I love it. It's now my favorite mug.
Yeah.
And so I took a picture of me drinking out of it. I'm like, I have a favorite mug. Do you?
Right. Yeah.
And loads of people. I mean, I got a ton of response in it. So I think people are passionate about their favorite mug. But the longest time, I had one that was Animal from. The Muppets.
Yeah.
And that thing cracked in the dishwasher, which is part of why I wanted to put this bowl away, because I love
why
that
is
mug.
It? Why? Because I'll tell you, and now it's opened up a whole flood of memories. There is a mug I used to have, and Kathy, maybe you can commiserate with this. When you'd put hot tea and hot coffee in it, you could put your hand around through the handle and hold the mug.
It kept your hand warm
and hold it into yourself. That handle broke. I'm like, what am I going to do?
That's your favorite mug? Your favorite one ever?
Oh, well, this is my work mug.
Yeah, but if you had to pick one.
Oh, stop it. It's the one with his picture on it.
Is that your favorite?
Casey's hurt because...
This is the funniest mug.
Okay.
But my at-home comfort mug is the Vert the Firk from Swedish Chef Marissa.
Preston, I feel your pain over quarantine. I
opened my dishwasher and my favorite wine glass had broken.
Okay.
Oh, now that is a nightmare, guys.
It was a Pringles can.
Let me share the story behind the wine glass. So I had been looking for like these little tiny, I call them like Italian restaurant, like short, they're like juice cups, but they're not exactly juice cups. And I found the perfect ones at this hotel I was staying at in Ireland.
You stole it?
And I stole four of them. And so now I only have three. And it's the saddest thing because like by, I don't know, Saturday night, I don't have any wine glasses left. And they're all because I'm out of wine glasses. The end.
I'm out of wine glasses.
Feel your pain.
I don't know what to do.
Hang on a second. I don't understand this. Let me go to Amanda. Hi, Amanda. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my God.
Hey, what's up, Amanda?
So about 2 years ago, I bought my first brand new car. And it's a hatchback, and I took it to Home Depot because we were building a horseshoe pit. So I had all of these big railroad ties, and I've got my car, and about three Home Depot people asked me if I needed help. And I'm like, no, 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 I got it. I got it. I'm fine. So I go out to the parking lot, and one more person asked me, and I thought, you know what, you idiot. Here's somebody who's going to help you. Why are you denying help? So I said, all right, fine. I open up the hatch. The guy picks it up. The first board he goes to put into my car, he smashes it into my taillight.
There you go.
And you can never
get another taillight. That's brand new.
Yeah, that's a little different.
It's brand new. It's a keepsake.
The thing, though, it says next to Amanda's name, it says, had wood at Home Depot.
I noticed that. Yeah. I'm like, what is this all about?
Man, she was really excited. Hang on. There was another one. Oh, yeah. Hang on. Let me go to, yeah, Joe. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks show. What's up, buddy?
So me and my wife recently were going through all the baby clothes for my three-year-old daughter because we're having another one come November.
Congratulations.
So going through everything. Thank you. Going through everything. My wife goes, this all needs to be washed. This all can't go in the dryer. I said, okay. So after forgetting about it, going hours through clothes, I put all the stuff in the dryer, ruined everything she told me not to put in the dryer.
Oh, no.
How much hell did you catch?
Like a crocheted dress and stuff that my grandmother made.
That's like now
like
a baby doll.
This is the
size.
Last thing before I die. My gift of love. I will live on to this crocheted dress.
Yeah, it was like a pile of mush in the bottom of the dryer. Like just a ball of yarn, basically.
Oh, no.
Go put on grandma's mush.
it was bad.
How much, I mean, you just, that's irreparable. I mean, you know.
Can't buy back. You can't buy memories back.
Yeah, I hid in the shed.
You hid in the shed. Yeah, I would have been right with you, man.
Did you guys throw it away or did she keep part of it as a keepsake?
No, we tossed it.
Oh, yeah, you should have just packed it away.
Yeah,
you should have cheated on
it. Took care of it, honey.
Yeah, and then when the new
I
baby
cheated on you.
When the new baby comes, you're like, I don't know what happened to those clothes.
Hey, by the way, I put that crochet thing in the dryer, and I'm cheating on you.
Which one you want to complain
about? Yeah.
let me go to, let's have Peter tell his story. Hey, Peter, good morning.
Good morning. What's up, Pud?
Hey, Pud. What's going on?
Pud is a great word.
So in 1998, I was partying with some of my classmates at Penn State, and I left their apartment to go get some more green. And when I returned, they had broken my favorite bong.
Now, from what I understand, bongs are very personal. Like you, right?
If you get one you love, yeah. How long had you had it?
I'd had it for years. It was a monster bong. I mean, this thing was probably 3 feet tall. It was glass. And it was pinched at the top about 6 inches below the inhaling part so you could put ice cubes in it so you got cold bongs.
Oh, right, yes, yeah, of course. That sucks, Peter.
Hey,
sorry.
We had actually a similar, though it wasn't a keepsake, but someone had done this beautiful glass work. Do you remember the
yeah.
And sent over. I don't even know how that got broken.
It was one of our interns broke it, and we, you know, it hadn't been used. It just looked really cool. It had our logo on it. It was like a foot and a half tall bong. And we used to have it in our, you know how you have your office
your
bong.
Work bongs.
And somebody broke it. I was really I was not happy about that. How about this? Let me go to Michael. Hey, Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're talking about losing a keepsake out of stupidity.
I have a doozy.
Okay.
My son is 20. When you're talking pre-DVR.
Yeah.
When you do ultrasounds of your child, they used to put him on a VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a VHS tape of my son, and I wanted to keep it. It was special tape. It was labeled. You know, my son, I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah.
My wife recorded it over it with Melrose Place.
Yes. Yes. So the ultrasound on VHS, a keepsake you cannot replace, and it's been Melrose Placed.
Wow.
Well, there's actually sage advice, though. If you make sure you make and now it's less of a
yes.
of a risk factor. Thanks, because Michael. you get a file. You know.
I have the heartbeats of Parker, maybe Carter, and Steve. What's interesting is I have them on an outdated audio format. They're on mini disc.
Mini disc. Oh,
wow. Now, I'm sure I'll be able to find a place you could transfer that over to an audio
format. I have mini disc players.
Okay.
I do.
And fortunately, if recorded things are something that you've been hanging on to, there are loads of transfer places that will do those audio transfers for you. If you have old audio cassettes or video of any format, you can send these away. They'll transfer them digitally and get them. So they're expensive, but you can do that.
I loved mini disc format for the longest time. It made when I was doing radio production and things like that, it was great. So I have a number of players.
Let's see. Let me go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, Vert to Perk.
Yeah, totally, man. Love that mug. What's up, Dave?
It's a new one. Sorry, too soon. I just want to preface this story by saying I save everything. 57 years old, I have all four hubcaps from my first car.
Wow.
My attic is filled with everything.
Okay.
And so when I was in my 20s, I went and visited my house where I was just had moved out. And I noticed that my parents didn't save pictures real well. They were just all over the place in boxes and all that. So in the attic, I went through all the pictures of me, and just selfishly, I guess, and put them in a box and put them aside. So it was all like from when I was a baby, when I was a kid growing up, everything that I did. And then the next time I went to the attic to see my dad, who doesn't save anything, tossed a lot of stuff out, including that box. So there are no pictures. There's one baby picture of me, and then there's no. The next picture, I'm in my 20s.
Oh, but man. Like Jesus.
Yeah, that's it. Dude, there's hardly any pictures of Jesus.
You know? Isn't that horrible? I don't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I deserved it.
All of your developmental years, like Jesus, just don't exist.
There's one picture of Jesus on the back of a speedboat.
Exactly. Love you guys.
All right, man. Thanks, Dave.
The pictures are a whole other realm too.
Like, oh yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And you know, it's a good idea to chronicle those digitally. I that's something I eventually should do.
Yeah, as you said, there are a number of services that'll do that for or you can actually purchase a device if you want to go through the process yourself. You can purchase a converter for your home.
It's lengthy, but yeah, you can go through all that stuff. Let me see here. We gotta take a break here in a moment, but I'm gonna go to a couple more calls if we can. I'm gonna go to Brian. Hey Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, so I was in the Navy at the time, was home on leave visiting my sister, and she told me she had my grandpa's World War II dog tags.
Oh, uh-huh, wow.
That was a very cool thing to have for my shadow board that I have at home. So she gave them to me. Later, I had them kind of in my pocket all day. Went to a grocery store, took my keys out of my pocket to lock my car, and I heard tink, tink, splash. They went down a drain in the parking lot.
Did you attempt to retrieve them?
I looked down and there was just dark water down there. There was just no chance at picking them up.
So they were gone. Brian, was the water was flowing? It was moving.
It was moving. Yeah, enough, and yeah.
I think I'd take a shot at it.
So would I.
I would have tried.
I hate to say this, but you betrayed your grandpa.
Oh, stop it.
No. No, listen, a lot of times in a drain like that, you don't know where it's putting out. There'd be no, I mean, you could actually end up getting killed if you tried to do something. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm still afraid of the clown from it. So
Man, you got to consider those damn clowns.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, that sucks. You know, he had mentioned, Brian had mentioned a shadow box.
And yeah.
I've done a couple of those. I'm going to continue to do more. That's part of why I'm saving some of this stuff, because I think it'll make for nice artwork eventually. You do collages and shadow boxes and stuff like that.
Do you do them yourselves, or do you pay someone to do them?
I do them myself. I have paid to get them done, like some bigger ones.
Yeah.
But I've...
do you nail the balls right on them?
Nail the balls?
The bowls.
Oh, the bowls.
You nail your balls.
But, no, but I've done some myself, and I think I will continue to do it that way. In fact, I've saved a lot of radio stuff, like all of the laminates from MMRBQs and the Cardboard Classic.
Right.
All these events that we do. I save all those. I'm going to put those into a collage of some type. Same
That's
thing with
awesome.
Like, t-shirts and things along those lines.
Marissa did all that too, right? She's got basically every single ticket stuff from any event she's ever been to.
Oh, that's all. Yeah, that's right. We saw. You showed us some pictures, right?
Hang on. Go ahead.
I may have brought them in. I also have the laminates too, Preston. I saw one that was a friend of ours in radio had done one, and it was probably 8 foot tall with all of her laminates in it. But Ooh. It was so cool.
That's very cool. So I want to do that. All right, one more. Mike's been on hold for a while, so let me go to him. Hey, Mike, what's up, bud?
Hey, Bert to Bert. Bert.
There's the new Bert phrase. We're treading the line.
What's up, Mike?
Hi. So I was about 7, 8 years old. My grandfather, he made like model planes. I'm talking like the big ones that you could put a motor in and would actually fly. They're made of like the balsa wood and stuff.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So, the RC.
Yeah, so he passes away about January 96, and I had this space next to my bed between my bed and the window. It's about 3 feet wide, and the plane sit in there. I wanted to keep it close to me, and, being an idiot, I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. I put my foot straight through this plane.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
My dad had to throw it away. There was just no saving it.
No kidding. There's no repair work that could have been done on that.
No, and I've been... tall all my life. So I had about a size 13 foot at that time, and I put it right through it.
And you were just a kid? You were like 7 or 8 years old?
With a 13 foot?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, only 7 years old.
That sucks. And for the parent, for your dad, I'm sure he was angry with you, but you're only 7 or 8 years old, so.
And he had told me, he said, put this up. Don't put it there. Don't put it there. I'm like, no, I want it here. And boom, right.
I would have said, I'm going to hang on, and in 10 years, I'm going to beat your ass.
Right,
I can't
right.
do it right now.
I'm going to open hand hit you now.
We're going to throw down in 10 years, and maybe 11 when you're 18, but
right.
wow, that sucks. Yeah, it's when you lose something, thanks for the call, by the way, when you lose something that is sentimental, has that value, it stings. And it ruined my day. It ruined the rest of that day when I broke my little Bob the Builder bowl. But I have loads of other things that I have kept, so it's not like that was the one thing. But that was the bowl that lasted the longest. That was the last one of
them. Is there a second in line?
Still used it. I have a Thomas the Tank Engine plate.
Don't move it.
Yeah, right?
Don't move it.
I have a small Thomas the Tank Engine plate.
Okay.
If you break that one, you're going to be so cross.
Yes, just like Percy.
Yeah.
It's cross. All right. Anyhow, thank you for the calls. I appreciate it. I do feel a little bit better. We're going to take a break, come back in a second, and we'll get into the bizarre file, so stay with us. Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait. We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
I want to remind you guys, through WMMR.com, there is a big freaking deal, which you need to check every week because there's always some great deals for you, which is what that's all about. And right now, you can get 2 tickets to the Crayola Experience for just $23.
Nice.
It's in Easton, PA, and it's 65,000 square
Whoa.
Feet of one-of-a-kind family fun attractions. You can explore art and technology with dozens of hands-on activities. So Take a look at the deal. It's only through Sunday, and you just go to WMMR.com. If you go on the website, just use the keyword deal, and you will find that out. But it's while supplies last. So two tickets to the Crayola Experience for $23.
I want
to
go.
Usually the big friggin' deal is like half price or better.
Yes.
On most things.
And don't,
so,
don't let them get by you, because there's some great stuff.
Yep, exactly. All right, B-File time.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Cinch, a propane tank home delivery service that brings propane right to your doorstep. You can place your order at cinch.com. A woman was charged with public intoxication after being spotted chewing on a miniature horse's mane, claiming that it was candy.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It must have been a unicorn, because unicorns have Twizzlers for hair.
Yes. Cynthia Teepley was spotted at home last month.
Oh, look, chocolate came out its butt.
And she... Teepley was seen shirtless, eating grass and dirt from the horse enclosure and chewing on the horse's mane near his head. And she told the deputy that the horse's hair is made of Laffy Taffy and Airhead candy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Someone's doing meth.
Well, the deputy said she didn't know where she was and admitted to taking meth the day before.
There we go.
Teepley was then taken into custody after that particular incident.
Wow.
A doctor in the UK was feeling queasy after he extracted 16 years worth of earwax from a man who hadn't cleaned his ears in almost two decades.
Oh, my God. Is there video of this?
There, I saw photos of the said wax.
So what came? What did it look like?
It's like, it's black. It's,
oh, my God.
It's disgusting. A news clip of the stomach-churning excavation has since gone viral online. And according to Dr. Neil Rathava, he said it was comfortably the largest haul of earwax and dead skin I've ever removed from a single ear.
So did he gain back? He must have gotten a massive increase in his hearing capability.
Probably. By the way, Dr. Rathava is known as the wax whisperer.
So like a pimple popper.
For his renowned abilities to remove the buildup from people's ears. The unnamed patient had visited Rathava's audiology practice after suffering from severe ear pain, vertigo, and disequilibrium for several weeks. He had previously undergone a radical mastoidectomy, which is where part of an area of his skull behind his ear was removed due to infection. But had neglected to properly clean the orifice for a decade after this surgery.
Oh, my God.
And a decade and a half afterwards. As a result, his auditory canal had become a repository of gooey and black wax that had amassed there for almost 20 years.
So it must have stunk.
I would think so. Rathava had said that it was necessary to remove the whole ball of wax. In the video shot from inside the patient's ear.
How did they get a crew in there?
I think they use a special camera. Specialists can be seen exhuming dunes of dead skin and cerumen, which I'm not sure what that is, for over 5 minutes.
They're like angels.
The entire procedure took around an hour, approximately six times longer than normal. And while the wax sectomy was ultimately successful, it was a very difficult and complex case, he said. This isn't the first time the wax whisperers had to remove mammoth amounts of earwax. In 2018, he operated on a woman with a chunk so big that it prevented her from wearing a hearing aid. So this is what the man does.
That's disgusting.
A Saskatchewan man faces rare charges under National Parks wildlife regulations and potential fines up to $125,000 after allegedly using a slingshot to hurl projectiles at a cougar in Banff National Park.
At a cougar?
Yes. And why?
What the hell was that? Why? Something just hit my ass. Okay. Made me drop my Pall Malls.
An eyewitness provided key evidence, a number of photos that wardens...
Where are the young men at?
Wardens used to build the case. Using a vehicle description and photos provided by the public, park wardens located the vehicle and arrested...
Ow, I just got hit with something.
And arrested the individuals within. A 40-year-old man has been charged with two offenses under National Parks wildlife regulations, disturbing an animal in a national park, and possession of a loaded firearm outside of a vehicle in a national park.
Animal may be in the sack.
These charges are rarely laid, but sometimes she is. Parks Canada...
That's the plan, sugar.
...said that under the regulations, a slingshot is considered a firearm And the charges carry a maximum penalty of $25,000 and $100,000.
You know when you were a kid and you had like the Whammo wrist rocket?
Yeah, yeah.
Those suckers, you could do damage.
Yeah, big time. You could really hurt somebody with that. First responders have taken a man to Tampa General Hospital after being reportedly struck by lightning while on a personal watercraft. So he's out on a jet ski.
Wow.
And struck by lightning.
What are the odds?
The incident happened at the Davis Island Yacht Club. Fire rescue officials say that they're not sure if the man or the watercraft was hit by the lightning strike. When paramedics arrived, the patient was out of the water and being tended to by bystanders.
I've been out on the water, and I've seen a lightning strike into the water. It's pretty awesome.
Wow, that's got to be. His condition is unknown. We'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. Let's end with this one. A former prosecutor is under arrest again on a public indecency charge. Is a prosecutor. Scott Blauvelt is accused of driving naked on Interstate 275.
Yes, my name is Scott Blauvelt.
Cincinnati, and exposing himself to a woman.
Look at my penis.
The female victim said she felt like she was being followed on the highway. Police wrote in their criminal complaint. Blauvelt was booked into the county jail Monday night and is set to appear before Judge Tuesday. He was fired from his former job after he was caught walking around the government building naked in October 2006. And he also pleaded guilty in 2019 to a public indecency charge.
How did he get the job in the first place? Or was there a deterioration while he was on the job?
I think that may have been what happened is after he...
So what are your hobbies? Well, I like to walk around naked and show people my penis.
And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let's take a break. Coming up in a little while, some guest Caitlin Bristowe is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. She was on The Bachelorette, or she was The Bachelorette. Yeah,
she was The Bachelorette.
There's only one woman on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, that's it.
And drummer Ray Luzier, who played with Korn and David Lee Roth and so on, as part of this Neil Peart tribute that's taking place on Saturday. So we're going to talk to him as well. Back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
As I look for things to bring up as far as topics go, sometimes we get clusters of similar stories. And lately it's been food. So.
It has.
Oh. Yeah, so I think we need to...
It's time for the connoisseur. The food stories keep piling up and we need to get to them. First serving is up now.
Step right up. All right, thank you. I like the bell. I love it. We'll start with this. Buffalo Wild Wings has added 4 new sauces to the menu.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So California, or no, I'm sorry, Carolina Reaper sauce.
Oh, as in Grim Reaper?
As in the world's hottest pepper.
Yeah.
Blended with hot sauce, vinegar, and a hint of red bell pepper and onion.
I had a very weak moment of wing craving. Boneless wings, which is what we've determined is just chicken fingers or chicken tenders, right?
Yes.
But yeah, man.
Oh, and let me come clean because someone had sent me information. I had told you guys that wing is dark meat.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it is not. Technically, it is a white meat, but it has a darker color to it, I think, because the wing, the dark meat muscles get worked more. So that's why the thighs and legs
are
dark. Yeah. And the wing is a little bit more dark in,
tell me what, wingy.
In color. So, but it technically, it's white meat. So,
Does Taco Bell have wings now? Because I saw on Hard Knocks, it's that NFL football show on HBO, mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey was talking about how Taco Bell has wings now.
I wasn't sure if you guys had heard.
To me, I know they've taken forays into non.
Maybe it's by market, you know. Like
it might be my market.
Now, why would he lie about that?
Why?
I mean, what does he have to gain?
Yeah.
Get out of that?
I mean, honestly, he just signed a huge contract, so it's not like
he's endorsing Taco Bell croissants.
That might be it.
When you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, it can get a little overwhelming with the number of temperature choices.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, because it's, I don't know.
So for me, and
yeah, flavors too, yeah.
I'm a pussy when it comes to,
it ruins the meal for me. It does.
So if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, what would be the,
whatever, like the first three.
The first three are my safe zone?
Yeah.
All right.
And they're really good. Like there's one in, there's one near the Oaks Expo Center.
All right.
And so I've been to that one a few times and that's nice. I like it. You can go watch a sporting event or whatever, but there's just, it's a bit overwhelming in the menu choices.
The garlicky one is pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
What's the show? I think it's on True TV where they sit there and the guy interviews somebody and they eat these increasingly hotter hot sauces.
I know the one you're talking
about. I don't know what show it is.
Paul Rudd's been on it and they've had a lot of pretty notable celebrities on it, and it's funny.
I wouldn't do it. It would kill me.
It would ruin my day.
Absolutely.
I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin on one and he didn't budge. And he was admitting that his mouth was burning, but he wasn't.
But he's a man.
He wasn't, like most people do.
We had an intern who could eat any of that stuff. Eat a pepper that was super hot the way you would eat an apple with absolutely no problem.
Because is it capsaicin? Is that what that stuff is called?
I think that's it,
Capsaicin, I think.
Capsaicin.
Yeah.
There are some people that don't react to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of them. And could take habaneros raw and just pop in mouth.
We were sweating
like there were nothing.
We were watching her sweat. Crazy. You remember that? We couldn't watch it.
Yeah. Well, wait a second. There's a show where they just eat hot.
What's it called?
Hot Ones.
Hot Ones.
Yeah, it's an interview show, and the premise is it's like comedians in cars getting coffee where they're driving around in a car. This is they sit around and they eat wings. But it brings out
progressively hotter sauce.
And it changes the dynamic throughout the course of the interview because they get hotter and hotter.
Yeah, and it's funny as they're trying to tell you about their latest project and they're salivating they can't see. So it's an interesting
concept. It's not a joke that gets old.
Not really.
I've
never really spent time with it, so I don't know.
Well, the joke doesn't get old because the interview subjects change from topic to topic,
All right, so that's one of the sauces. The other one is a lemon pepper sauce.
Well, I like lemon pepper when it comes on a rotisserie chicken. I do like the lemon pepper.
Orange chicken sauce. That sounds good to me. I do like an orange. Like you can have there's some Chinese restaurants that have an orange flavored chicken.
That's true. Really good. Okay.
And this has this also has orange citrus flavor with a hint of cayenne pepper and soy. And finally, pizza sauce. Garlic Parmesan sauce dusted with tomato powder and basil.
Honestly, plain is fine. And also, I like the buffalo sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the home runs for me.
But these are dipping sauces. So even if you get buffalo, you can dip it in blue cheese.
Oh, that's true.
You can dip it in ranch so on. So,
it's weird because I actually prefer my wings to be a little bit smaller. I don't like those giant, chunky wings. I don't I'm get really weirded out by it. And I also need it to be like kind of like overcooked.
Those wings are kind of chunky.
Kind of overcooked?
Yeah. Yeah, I get a little bit grossed out after I eat a couple of wings.
Yeah, no, you don't like the bones. I know that's part of it.
You're with me in the boneless camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I don't go boneless wings. I either go regular wings or...
Do you have a separate bowl of bones and a separate bowl of wings?
No.
Like they do on the Flintstones, just eating bones?
No, but I did... I went out to dinner with... And when I was in college with my buddy, and it was me and him and his mom... And he got wings as an appetizer, and he ate whatever he ate. And then his mom cleaned the bone. Like, whatever he ate, she would take it, the scraps. I mean, it was like it was eaten by, like, termites. I mean, it was just,
the bone.
Every single bit of it.
That would be a little unnerving, I think, if mom set to task on cleaning my chicken bones.
Dennis had a friend in college that used to, they would all order wings, and he wouldn't get it. He wouldn't go in on it, and he would just take their
scraps.
And, whatever they had left, he would eat
of
off
his
the
friends?
Bones. Of his roommates. That
oh, my God.
Awful, right?
Yes.
That's college, though, man.
Yeah,
that's like going halfsies on a fleshlight.
Yeah. That wasn't Skibignos, was it?
No, Case, it wasn't. He would get his own wings.
It's funny how wings are one of those things that people take a very, they get invested in personally as far as their favorite goes, and they defend it, and they will proclaim these to be the greatest. And that they stand by it and are very, very passionate about chicken wings. And bars that have them boast about that as well. It's one of those things.
And it's a badge of honor if you can take like the real murder level sauce. And to me, I really do love the taste of them. I can, you know, I can eat a lot of them. But if the sauce is too hot, to me, the taste goes right out the window and it becomes torturous.
I haven't been there in a long time because it's a beer bar, but there's a place in Media called Quotations. I mean, I've never had a wing anything like their wings. They were the best. Rosario's, the restaurant that I used to work at that I got fired from, they had the best wings. But, dude, like all the chefs that work there, they all died.
I'm having a brain. Really?
Yes.
Why?
What?
Too many wings.
No. The one guy.
A boulder ran over the place.
Dude was in great shape. I mean, he just went to sleep and never woke up. But like, so the recipe died with them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering where this is going.
Yeah.
It was like more
and then
like
a nun
dry
with a club foot came in. All right. So anyhow, they have four new sauces. So heads up. All right. Let me see what else I got here for you.
More from the connoisseur.
Yeah. And we're going to stay with it's funny because I'm the connoisseur and I usually talk about fast food.
Well,
it's not connoisseur
I know.
At all.
Well.
But some Arby's locations, and I do love me some Arby's, have been selling meat by the pound.
What? Like a delicatessen?
It's been happening, yeah, 9 locations near the Atlanta area, and at those locations, they are offering bulk slices of roast turkey, ham, and corned beef.
Well, their slogan is, we've got the meat.
Which also Arby's chose based on customer survey.
Huh.
If you're near one of those locations, you can get a half pound of any of the meats listed for $4.99 or a full pound for $8.99 through the end of September.
Their sandwiches are really good.
They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially for fast food, for quick. You want to get something, but it's kind of a notch above your other options. They've got great sandwiches.
But I'm sorry, did you say roast beef was part of that option, or was it only the turkey and the ham?
It was turkey, ham, and corned beef. Yeah, I guess maybe the roast beef is not.
I love their roast beef.
Up for grabs. The brand says that this is part of a test. And they're using the results to determine if and when this program could be scaled to additional markets. It's like you were talking about, Nick, that it's like a test market for now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Arby's roast beef is cut thinner than the Roy Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I preferred Arby's roast beef sandwich.
By the way, I saw a Roy Rogers.
What?
Not that long
ago. Was it on the turnpike?
Say what?
No, it was in New Jersey near a town called Bayville. Rochelle and I were looking at shore locations, and we hadn't been in that direction yet. It's kind of towards Seaside Heights. And so we're driving along. I'm like, son of a bitch. The whole town looked like it was still existing from when Roy Rogers
it was right next to a Heckinger's.
Yeah, right.
Anytime. Yeah. Yeah. Howard Johnson.
It was also in black and white.
Anytime we mention Roy Rogers, we get the list of like the 5 locations where there are. But there are a few in New Jersey. And I think there are some on Jersey Turnpike rest stops as well.
Okay.
That used to be my savior because I really do like the Roy Rogers burgers.
And fried chicken.
Yeah, and fried chicken.
Of all the fast food sauces that exist, I think
the horsey sauce?
No, Arby's sauce is the best.
Okay.
No doubt.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
I can't get on board with the best sauce out there.
All right. Well,
oh, man. Now you need to. Oh, I know.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A sauce.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was going to say that, but.
Kathy has a glass of it right now.
Drinks it every morning.
All right. What else I have here for you?
Oh, I don't know.
How about let's talk birthday cakes. A Boca Raton-based dentist has created what he calls the Toppit Cake Shield.
What?
It is made from Food and Drug Administration approved recycled polystyrene and allows candles to be placed on top of it to be blown on top of the box to be blown out, all while keeping the cake free of germs from the birthday celebrant. Kathy would do this even if it wasn't COVID.
Yes, I would. Well, we just had a birthday. Jace just had a birthday, and I didn't even think of it until afterwards, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, what do we do here? So I kind of had, like, I got a cupcake, and he blew out the candle on the cupcake.
That's
and
fine.
Cut out the cake. You know, okay. Cut up the cake.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Here, blow this.
It comes in 3 different sizes, and each comes inside in sides that overlay and snap together, sealing the cake inside without ruining it.
And it's, what, $110?
I don't know about that.
Right?
It's important to notice, as the CDC says, that foodborne exposure to the virus is not known to be a route of transmission. So attending a party with other humans might be more dangerous than actually eating the cake if proper precautions are not taken.
Mm. It also has chicken wing holders around the outside, Preston.
That's awesome. What? My youngest son, Carter, does... Now, here's the funny thing. He likes cake. He likes ice cream. He does not like ice cream cake.
Me neither. I'm with really? Him. I'm not with even... him. I've never liked ice cream cake ever.
Not and... even like Cold Stone, which is a different than a Carvel ice cream cake?
No, thank
okay.
you.
There's something about it that he's like... His reasoning is, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong.
I'm with him.
Really? Right.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a reason for it. So you want ice cream? Have ice cream. Yeah, but you know what? You know what I'm fine with?
What?
Is a piece of cake and a scoop of ice cream.
Right.
Cake out of the
bowl. Yeah. And so is Carter. But
ice cream cake is not
the
that.
Creation that it is.
Yes.
It's an ice cream cake. No, it's not. It's ice cream. It's not a cake. So that's his reasoning.
Yeah. And he's right. Yeah. So there is that element. It's like the sloppy Joe to me. It's just, you know, my dad tried to reason with me. I told you years ago, it's just a hamburger that has a ketchup in it. Really, Dan?
Yeah.
Then why do they call it a sloppy Joe?
Well, the Cold Stone cake is more of an ice cream cake then.
Is there actual cake in it?
Yeah, there's actual cake in it. Yeah.
All right. Well, the line is a little bit more blurred there.
By the way, the top shield is it's not expensive. I mean, if you can keep it and reuse it, it's only the rectangular one is $15, same for round, and then they have like a single slice one for $5.
Okay. I might as well invest in that. I'm upset that there are no more Carvel stores. You can get Carvel cakes in your supermarket, but
there are no more Carvel stores where you can purchase a cake?
There might be one in, like, Burlington County, New Jersey or something like that.
By the way, Dairy Queen and Brewster's, they all have ice cream cakes.
Come on, man.
Well, so here's the deal. And I never realized that you could do this until I started dating my wife. But you can, if you go to a Carvel store, you can get, separate extra cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
They have chocolate, and then they also have vanilla cookie crumbles as well.
It took a good woman to show you that.
It took her whole family. She's got a wonderful, wonderful family. But, like, and so that was introduced to me, and, I don't ever want it to go away. And it's gone.
Don't ever go, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we're looking at Carvel stores here in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drive to Reading or Bethlehem for, vanilla cookie crumbles.
Just won't do it.
I'm just not going to do it.
You're not that kind of man.
You call yourself a fan?
By the way, I love the videos that you see pop up. Sometimes they're TikTok videos or even on other social media of these people that create these ice cream cake hybrid type things. You've seen some of these videos where they'll show them taking the the layer of cake and putting ice cream that's kind of tempered and moldable, and then they'll put it in a mold and stick it in the freezer and get it out later on and then decorate it and all that.
It's amazing. Oh, it's too much work, though.
It looks fantastic. But, yeah it is a lot of work. But anyhow, they have a shield if you want to get it. And like Kathy was saying, it's not that expensive, but it's called the Top It Cake Shield.
I like the idea of the cupcake, separate cupcake for the birthday person to blow the candle out, and you're good there.
Yeah. All right, what else do we have here? Connoisseur-wise. Little Debbie.
Yeah.
Did you like Little Debbies?
Some Little Debbies I
some
did.
Some of them I liked. Yeah.
Wasn't a fan of everything.
I don't think I'd like them now. I did like the oatmeal cream pies.
Mm-hmm. And pies.
Little Debbie has teamed up with Kellogg's to create an oatmeal cream pie cereal. The pie treats are turning 60, and the cereal was created in celebration.
I mean, are they technically whoopie pies?
I don't know, but stop turning everything into cereal.
I know.
They have been. That's been a thing as of late.
Have you ever had ice cream cereal?
Ice cream cake cereal.
Ice cream cake cereal. It's great.
The cereal consists of crispy oatmeal puffs with a creme coating.
Oh, creme. What's Little Debbie's story? Was there an actual Little Debbie?
Nick, would you mind? I'm curious about that.
So the Little Debbie, these oatmeal cream pies was one of those snacks that my mom didn't buy. So when the kids at school had it, I'd be like, oh, man, can you bring me one next week?
What about the Star Crunch? That was Little Debbie too, right?
I'm not sure.
We had
white and shaped like a star.
No, it's chocolate and it's almost like it's chewy on the inside, like caramel chewy stuff, but basically like Nestle Crunch around the.
We were more Entenmann's, Drake's, Freehoffer's.
Yeah,
you had to be Entenmann's if you grew up where you grew up.
Yeah.
And but here too, like at Endemans, there were a couple outlets, and so you could get them. And by the way, Steve, yeah, there was a little Debbie. She was the 4-year-old grandchild of the company founders, OD and Ruth McKee.
Okay,
and they used her image, and then they sort of developed it from there.
Nick has pulled up their list of popular products. So yeah, the oatmeal cream pie. You had the brownie.
The brownie was okay.
It is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a real brownie, but it could kind of do it.
Yeah.
The Swiss cake roll, I remember those.
I did like those.
Those were good.
Yeah.
That's like the ho-ho, right? The
ho-ho. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot like that. There are so
the
many
filthy ho.
They were exactly the same by different companies.
Filthy ho.
Yeah. And then you had the zebra cake.
Funny Bones.
So there were Funny Bones?
Funny Bones. That was a Drake cake, right?
Yes,
Drake?
Funny Bones. It was peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Preston, look up here.
I didn't have many Drake. I didn't grow up with Drake products.
Yeah.
That is the Star Crunch. Do you remember that?
I do. I don't think I ever had one of those, Case.
We got to change that.
Yeah, those look...
right now.
Pretty tasty. So it had like... I guess what they call puffed rice in the...
like a Rice Krispie treat, yeah, which like I love.
I used to like those. I can't stand them now.
You know what?
I don't like marshmallows.
Rice Krispie treats, really?
Yeah, yeah.
The cocoa. Did you ever have the cocoa Krispie treats?
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's taking it up a notch.
Well, now you're talking.
Yeah. Well, now they do like all types of cereal type treats. You can call them Rice Krispie treats, but they'll do like Honey Nut Cheerio Krispie treats.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yep. I've seen those. All right. What else here?
Or for the connoisseur, are we staying with the sweet stuff?
No,
or are we going savory?
No, let's go in a different direction, actually. This has to do with food allergies, okay?
Okay.
So Nestle...
Connoisseur, get serious.
Yes, I'm going to be serious for a moment. Nestle agreed to buy Immune Therapeutics Incorporated.
Huh.
And immune is spelled A-I-M-M-U-N-E,
right.
So it's not immune. Anyway, they're buying it for $2.6 billion.
Wow.
Adding a promising peanut allergy treatment to its portfolio of coffee, snacks, and water.
So, okay, so this could, a product line that could be edible for people with peanut allergies?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I'd like to stress, and I always like to do this anytime peanut allergies are brought up, because sometimes people use the peanut allergy as a... is an example of the pussification of America,
right,
and so
yeah.
on like this. Oh, it's got peanuts in it, whatever. That is like poison to some people.
Right.
I mean, flat out kill you poison. So let's keep this in mind. So this could be huge for people. The Swiss owner of Nespresso will
that's
pay...
That's the George Clooney company.
$34.50 a share for the U.S. biotech firm, almost triple its last closing price. Immune makes a therapy to help reduce allergic reactions to peanuts in children and teens by exposing them to tiny doses over time. We've heard that type of
which
thing
works,
before.
Apparently.
The deal is Nestle's biggest push yet into health science. Chief Executive Officer Mark Schneider has stoked Nestle's interest in the field while shedding slower-growing businesses in areas such as bottled water and sweets. Immune's treatment, called Palforzia, exposes patients to small doses of peanut protein and won approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in February. Analysts estimate its revenue may exceed $1 billion in 2025, including a 26% stake that Nestle's health science arm already holds in Immune. The deal's enterprise value is $2.6 billion, according to Nestle.
That's crazy. But in the long run, they can make that money back and then some.
Yeah. And then more people can eat peanut butter products.
Absolutely.
And,
get
and maybe
huge.
They can make some money off of that. But they are, they're investing into that. Which
interesting.
Is very interesting. That's what I thought, too. All right, let's circle around to another thing. Casey, you had mentioned Taco Bell.
Yes.
So the pandemic has inspired Taco Bell to find new ways to provide their for their fans during our pandemic age. And as a result, the company has a new restaurant concept in the works that reimagines how we use drive-through.
I saw the design. It's actually pretty cool. I think you would dig it.
It's called Go Mobile, and it includes two drive-through lanes and smart kitchen technology. But the space itself will be much smaller than a traditional Taco Bell restaurant, as the point is for these types of locations to be drive-through only. Of these two drive-through lanes, one will be used for people who ordered online ahead of time. And there will also be an option for curbside pickup, as well as bellhop employees with tablets that expedite the ordering process for those placing their orders on site.
Like Sonic.
Your tacos, sir. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And you're going to see a lot, Nick, of the business model, just because but even like post-pandemic, a lot of people have really gotten turned onto apps and pre-ordering and pickup and curbside, and they're enjoying this, and they're saying this is more than likely going to be a carryover, even when things start to open up.
Yeah,
The Taco Bell over here, they have a obviously a dry
cleaner.
But they turned
that's it, like the next step.
They turned a the door into a pickup window now.
Oh, there you go.
So I guess you can walk up. I'm not really sure exactly how that works.
Did they literally change the makeup of the door? Is the door like
a barn
like
door?
Just like a window,
like a split door.
Yeah.
Interesting,
Steve. And they'll Martinize your burrito.
Yes, absolutely. Man, this burrito is really nice.
But I know that the McDonald's that we go to down the shore, they don't allow you to. You have to be in a motorized vehicle to be able to go through the drive-thru, which kind of sucks for, you know, people that aren't in a car.
And wasn't there a story about a guy going up to the drive-thru with on a horse?
Yeah, that was a little while back.
Right.
I think that was in England.
Did they allow it or not?
Casey, no, they did allow it. Would they allow your little electric scooter?
My Vespa, yes, but the little electric scooter, probably not. They wouldn't let my friend go up in his bike.
Oh, wow,
well, you know what?
Really?
I think part of the reason might be that when you pull up to the speaker, there's something magnetic, I think, that detects a large vehicle there. It's not by weight. It detects all that metal.
Really?
But it might not be enough to trigger that. Well, that's what I thought.
So they had a camera. They knew he was on a bike, and they said, no, we can't do it. There's like a liability issue, which to me, like I get it, but at the same time, if he pulled up in a tiny little motorcycle,
maybe someone can explain that why that would be any different, especially if you're at a shore town where a lot of people are using more or less common forms of transportation.
But if the dining room is closed because of a pandemic, can you sort of make certain considerations?
I don't know. There's a risk assessment involved that. So chances are. Yeah, you could get hurt on a motorcycle, maybe less so than on a bicycle.
Yeah.
If a car were to accidentally.
They won't serve a fuel truck that's on fire if you're in a drive-thru.
Well,
which is crazy.
I can understand that, though.
Yeah, but.
But this guy was, he had basically sacked out. He was completely depleted and just needed food.
Yeah.
And so he was so bummed out. This is not me. I'm not talking. This is not me. So, you know, he ended up just going.
I know
a
friend. I have a friend.
I have a friend whose name is Facey Coster.
Yeah. And he was pleasuring himself with the dry. And I mean, he was trying to get food.
This whole time, I can't stop thinking about Sonic because this whole concept reminds me of that. And there was a stretch where two or three years, my son was so into Sonic, we went a lot. I haven't been there probably since he was four or five. I don't think that I miss it that much. Like, I really liked it for a little bit.
I just went last week
for
the first time in, Nick, probably a couple of years.
And it was the one out by not too far from you?
Yeah, Royersford.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
Was it? Okay.
And I'm like, okay. I bailed on it for a while because I think I got overkill on it. The burger was fantastic. And I had a strawberry limeade, which is probably my favorite drink.
I don't think that there are any healthy options on the menu anywhere.
There's nothing.
Okay.
When I have been... You know, conscious, paying attention, and making sure that I'm eating what I can. I remember pulling up to Sonic going, I'm like, there's nothing I can buy here.
But it's good.
I think there's one non-breaded chicken sandwich thing on the menu, and that's it.
Listen, I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, I'll get it, but I only eat it once a year, usually around the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And when you go in, the only green thing in Kentucky Fried Chicken is the snot in the cashier's nose.
I mean... You could say mashed potatoes, but
no,
loaded too. That's loaded with stuff.
The desserts at Sonic are off the charts.
Oh my God!
I think maybe I just overloaded for two or three years, and then I need to get back.
Go back though. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed that burger.
Okay.
You know, do you remember we talked about it? A&W Root Beer used to have the drive. It was similar to Sonic. Sonic's, I think, handles it better. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Well, since you mentioned it, Steve, I recently went to a childhood favorite of mine, Weber's in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Weber's,
which is a drive up on, is it 38 or 70? I always get them confused.
I think it's 38.
Yeah, right on. I was at the mall, and I drove by it on the way to, and on the way home, I was like, all right, I'm going to turn around and do the whole thing. I mean, I just sat there by myself with everything hanging out the window. I, like, ate half my burger. I was like, can I get a box and take this home? I can't sit in my car
anymore. I do love the notion of it hanging off the car so that you're not, you know, you can reach out and pull in what you're needing, you know, and let the birds have access
to it. Wait a minute, you can't eat in your car?
No, I love eating in my car.
Oh, okay.
I can't eat alone. I feel weird, like, sitting, like, I won't
you
eat. I'd rather eat
I'll
in
eat
our car.
With your little lady.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love eating alone.
I don't mind eating alone at all.
My favorite thing to do. Yeah.
Can you leave me alone, please? I'm eating.
Casey, in a bath with rose petals and a burger.
No, I just mean like going, sitting down somewhere, yeah. Throw my headphones in, grab my phone, and just chomp it away.
Oh, I hear you.
See, I love eating. I love taking it out and eating in my car. But the only thing about Weber's was I pulled in right so you could look right into the kitchen. So all the guys were just staring at me while
look
I was
at that lonely,
look at her.
Pathetic woman out there by herself.
Drinking a root beer, eating her veggie burger.
All right. Well, anyhow, Taco Bell's going to try this. So it'll be one lane for online orders, another lane for regular drive through.
Interesting.
We'll see if that ends up working. So that's it. Bon appetit. Enjoy. And
from the connoisseur.
That's it. Oh, we're done with that. Yeah, music, please. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to start talking to some guests. We're going to have on Caitlin Bristow, who is the Bachelorette, but she is now going to be on Dancing with the Stars. And amazing drummer Ray Luzier is going to be joining us as a tribute to Neil Peart taking place this weekend, and he is one of the featured drummers, so we'll talk to him in a little bit. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Starting next Monday is Dancing with the Stars, and they always announce their lineup a few weeks ahead of time, which we covered, I think it was last week or the week before.
Yeah, there's sort of been a seismic shift, though.
Yeah, there has, with the change in hosts, and so on.
Yeah, presentation, everything.
So we are welcoming someone who is going to be starring on this show. Hopefully she's going the whole distance. We'll find out. And she also knew her from The Bachelorette Season 11. This is Caitlin Bristow.
Hey!
Who's on this morning. Hi there, Caitlin.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful as well.
All right, so Dancing with the Stars next Monday. Have you guys been rehearsing yet and doing all that stuff leading up to this?
Oh, yes. We've been doing all the rehearsals. My feet are throbbing. My knees are sore. I'm sore everywhere. And I think that's part of the process.
Well, we're friends with Kate Flannery, who was on a while ago, and she talked about the process of getting into shape for dancing. But everyone says you will never get a workout and you'll never be in better shape when you finish up Dancing with the Stars. Are you on that trajectory?
Yeah, you know what? I heard the same thing. So I found out about 15 weeks before coming here that I was going on the show. So I started working with a personal trainer already, and then coming in here, I'm like, I got to have good stamina and be strong. So I'm ready for this.
All right. With a personal trainer, did you start working with a dance instructor to get ready for it?
You know what? I didn't, because I felt like that would be cheating. And I also didn't want to go into it like, what if he taught me different things than my new partner's teaching me? I didn't want to get in my own head.
All right. Well, did you teach spin class for a while?
Yeah, I did. I did spin class, but I actually grew up doing, my mom was a professional ballerina, so
okay.
I grew up doing ballet and jazz, and I thought that was going to, you know, help me in the ballroom, but it turns out it doesn't, and it's a very challenging, it's a whole other beast.
Now, the one thing with this, the animal that is Dancing with the Stars, is that it is obviously you've got to perform the dances, you got to get in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. But it is also a popularity contest at some level. You have experience with that, with the Bachelorette and the Bachelor and that as well. And your chops, how are your chops with playing to the crowd, would you say, at this point?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know, it would be a real kick to the ego to go home on the first week. So
right.
Trying to not put that out there. But I think, you know, Bachelor Nation, they're very loyal people. And so I don't think they're going to let me down with the voting.
You know, it's weird because you were out of that for a while. And I think you were posting or I saw an interview or somewhere the information came to me that you were saying, oh, you know, that you forgot how acrimonious social media can be. Like, you know, you go through when you're in that, when you're on a show actively, you just get taken down all the time. And you had a little resurgence of that. It's got to be a double-edged sword, social media, with what you're doing.
That's exactly what it is. There's good things about it. There's bad. I try and mostly focus on the good. Sometimes the bad creeps in because, you know, those trolls out there, they're pretty loud. But for the majority of it, you use your platform for good. You can have a voice, and there's a lot of support in the community out there. And then every now and again, you know, you get announced on a TV show, and people don't really know who you truly are. They think you're a character on a show.
Right.
And yeah, you know, everyone's got their opinions.
And so. you were candid with, you know, depression issues and so on and so forth. And so you've got to be in a good place, or you've got to have something, some sort of resilience to be able to deal with that and handle all this.
Yeah, that's one word I would definitely use to describe myself as resilient. When I went into The Bachelor, Bachelorette, I knew I had thick skin, and I mean, they'll still get to you, but I have suffered with serious anxiety, and this definitely doesn't help being on national television, but you know what? I do have thick skin, and I enjoy every second of it, and it only gets me down for a hot minute.
All right.
Caitlin, everybody's got good sides and bad sides, but automatically you're on my good side because you have two golden retrievers. Tell me about them and their names.
Oh, I am just obsessed with them. I love when people bring them up, so thank you for that. their names are Ramen and Pino, and we actually rescued them from South Korea, and they're the light of our lives.
Wow.
They are adorable.
That's really cool.
All you have to do is post photos of them, and there will be no acrimony.
Yeah, the animal community will be all over you.
Yeah, you know what? I already got them shirts made that say "Vote for Mom."
So. Now, I don't mean this quite literally, but are sometimes Ramen and Pino on the dinner menu?
Seriously, that's it. It's apparently like they name dogs after food, and that's what the names we got with them, and I'm not mad at it.
Okay. Well, I see now you host a podcast called Off the Vine, and you've actually interviewed one of our friends, Brittany Taylor, who
she was a former intern of ours.
Yeah, former intern and
calendar girl.
Yeah, and so she's great. And Nikki Glaser, who could give you advice about the, she was actually voted off Dancing with the Stars after week one.
I know. She's the one who told me how hard that is on your ego.
Yeah, it's got to be devastating, but she rolled with it.
Oh, yeah, she's a good sport.
So with your with this and the schedule and obviously the COVID situation that we're in, how are they handling the mechanics of the stage? And I assume there's not going to be an audience watching, the judges. How's everything laid out?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer that there's not a live audience. I think that's, you know, a big part of the show with the hype and the energy. And I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like yet, but we'll find out Monday, I guess. But they're really following all the protocols, and we get tested every single day. And it's you wear a mask, and as soon as you get in the room with your partner, you shut the door, and then you can take your mask off because you're both tested every day. But you know, usually I think they have people hanging out at the dance studio. Everyone gets to know each other. But right now it's just like Carole Baskin will pass me, and I'm like, "Hey, Carol," and that's about it.
Okay.
Did you watch Tiger King, by the way?
I mean, yes, that was a big part of my quarantine.
So what do you anticipate there?
I don't know. I don't know what America wants to see anymore. So I don't know. If I get beat out by a Carole Baskin, talk about shot to the ego.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty wild. We'll keep throwing her off with little suggestions about, come on, where's he buried?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to play the mind game.
Play the mind game.
Yeah. Exactly.
Man.
She sounds like she's game for that.
I think so. I think we've got a real contender here. Now, Caitlin, I apologize. I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but I'm not that familiar with Bachelor Nation. I don't watch the shows of Bachelorette. But how did yours... did you get married or what happened?
I mean, I'm sorry that you only have a couple minutes for this. So I got engaged after the show, or on the show, I guess, and we were actually together for 3.5 years, and then it didn't work out, and now I swore on everything I would never date another Bachelor guy, and here I am dating another Bachelor guy. So
you were Chris Saul was the who are you with
he
now?
Was the Bachelor,
right?
Yeah, so he was the Bachelor, but now I'm with Jason, who was. I mean, it's such a weird world, and it's so hard to keep up. But now I'm with Jason, who was on Becca's season of The Bachelorette.
Okay, all right. It's like one big
family.
Yes, a big bizarre community, but now it's all about the dancing and Carole Baskin.
But you could be one of those rare success stories from the world of Bachelor and Bachelorette. So I hope you guys get married. That'd be wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate
all right,
that.
Caitlin, good luck on the on Dancing with the Stars. Next Monday is when that starts. And thanks for calling in this morning.
Thank you.
you so much.
All right, you bet. Caitlin Bristow is her name. And, that's going to start on Monday on ABC. We'll be able to check that out. It's funny that she's going to try to get in the head of Carol Baskin.
I mean, you might as well.
Mm. Hey, we got a little while to sit and chat for a moment here, but I'm sure you guys saw the photos from the fires out west, and
it looks like a scene from Total Recall. You know, when they're on Mars.
Yes, totally. Non-filtered photos of orange and red skies.
Yeah,
which is pretty wild. I mean, even in like San Francisco, it looked orange in the middle of the day. Strange.
There's a meme floating around. It's Antonio Banderas and Selma Hayek walking away from an explosion.
Yeah.
And it says, walking away from your gender reveal party. that's one of the fires was caused by the gender reveal party.
And the satellite shots.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
If you've seen the amount of smoke coming out of that area, it's crazy, man. I haven't talked to anybody personally who's there, but, you know, that's got to make you wonder about, what am I breathing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it shows you just the, again, we were talking about the pros and cons of living out there. So you have the earthquakes, you have the mudslides, you have the fires, you have the rolling power outages.
Oh, my God.
You have all that. But there's still enough there to make people go, hey, I love it.
Yesterday, I was at my chiropractor's office, and he'd lived in California for like 7 or 8 years. He said, I'll never move back there again. I was like, why not? You didn't like it? No, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was amazing. Well, why are you not going to move back there? Stevie listed the exact same things you said. He's like, blackouts, fires, threat of earthquake is always there. The weather's fantastic.
It is.
And it's beautiful, but the payoff is destruction might be right.
And that's it. It's what you got. You have to wait. You go out there and you get a string of days that are just perfect Southern California days. You're like, well, this is the way you should be living.
Yeah.
And then the Santa Ana winds start blowing those flames towards your house.
Mm-hmm. My friend John was on the beach in Venice Beach, California, Cali. Italy.
We call Kathy Cali.
Cali, yeah. But anyway, it was 115 degrees on the beach.
Oh, wow.
You know, really? And it's just like, you're looking in one direction and it's fires. And Steve, you forgot to mention the high cost of living.
The taxes out of control.
Yeah.
But you know, Nick, the funny thing is, and it is a weird juxtaposition. You have that beautiful weather, but the water is always frigid cold.
Oh, my God, it's freezing.
Is it?
Frigid
cold.
Oh, my God, the Pacific is freezing. Oh. Yes.
What's up with that?
Because of the way the water circulates down from the north.
Okay.
I remember we have the Gulf Stream coming up.
My sister moved to L.A., and the first time I went out to visit, I'm like, let's go to the beach. Yeah, woo! Man. I go running out in the water stream. I'm like, Jesus. It's why you see California surfers wearing wetsuits all the time.
Right.
It's cold, dude. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. You go, like, just charging in there. You're like, this is gone. Oh, my God. I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Have you ever watched, like, the beach blanket movies? You know, they're all on the beach. They never go into the water.
Do you remember when we did our trip to Tulum, they had a they had that trampoline that was out in the surf.
Yeah.
And we all went running, right? Let's go run to the trampoline, and had no idea that about, I don't know, 10 yards into the surf was all this coral.
Yeah.
It was great because I suffered it. And then I got to watch everybody else do the same exact thing.
Man, this last vacation, we were in Hawaii, this area that we went to on the North Shore to go snorkeling. We're standing there. I walk out on the sand. I'm like, this sand is hot, dude. And I'm looking at the distance I have to go to get to the water. I'm like, I'm not going to make it.
No, no.
I went back and I got my sandals. I put those on. I'm like, I'll just set them aside when I go in the water and hope nobody steals them. And there was a couple that came along after this, is well after I was done and back in our area. Mm-hmm. And they started heading out barefoot. And I go, just to let you know, right. I'm a total stranger. I'm like, the sand is really, really hot. Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
They keep going. I delighted am watching them as they get closer and closer, starting to pick up their pace, and the next thing you know, they're running. And then, Casey, right before you get into the water is all this coral and stuff. Oh, so they get over the hot sand onto the coral. So you go from scorching feet to razor blade sharp coral that you're walking across.
There's a great scene.
It's hilarious.
I believe the scene in 10 where Dudley Moore goes to the resort, and I believe it is in Mexico, and he goes out on the beach,
and there's actually a guy there who they pay to give to piggyback them to their blankets.
Yeah, it's that bad. But right now, yeah, the whole area is on fire.
On Oregon and I mean, yeah. It's like every state out west right now, there are terrible fires happening.
Yeah. All right, how about something that's better than that that yes. I can tell you about? How about
better
this?
Than fires?
You're better than fires.
You're better than fires.
Yeah.
You're better than that.
That ain't you.
Music research.
You're better than that.
You're better than fires.
Music research organization Music Trades says that between 2007 and 2017, sales of electric guitars dropped about a third, and for a while there appeared to be, it appeared to be that guitar might be, you know,
on the way out?
Really phasing out.
Nothing is over!
And it's not over because things have changed big time this year. Andy Mooney, who is the chief executive of Fender, says of 2020...
Hey, welcome to Rambo's Guitars. May I help you?
Here, let me play something for you.
Yeah. You like that? I like a finger-picking song. We also have a horn section.
Comes with the guitar.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But he said the CEO of 2020. Or, 2020.
There's a CEO
of 2020.
You're fired.
Yeah.
You're not doing a good job.
No, the CEO of Fender says yeah. of 2020, we've broken so many records. He said it will be the biggest year of sales volume in Fender history. Record days of double digit growth. E-commerce sales and beginner gear sales.
I know why.
Yeah.
People are at home. They want to, they figure they pick up the guitar.
That's exactly it.
That's exactly
it. They're going to try it out. There's a skill. I've got time on my hands, a skill I've always been interested in. And now I'm going to take a
That's
shot at
great
it.
News.
It's they're, awesome.
They're, to know that there are some industries, and as things are starting to come back around, that have flourished. And you know, I've talked to a few people who have different companies who are sort of sheepish about it. I said, listen, while all this stuff has been going on, you've been providing something that people want. There's nothing to be embarrassed. Yes, we feel, and it's sad that other people have lost, and hopefully everybody, you know, gets back up on their feet and gets up and running again. We want that. But, like, the guitar, for a lot of people, has been sort of a zen thing, so that's good to hear that.
Yeah. He said, I never would
have pointed you to the Stratocasters, the Fenders.
He said, I never would have thought that we would be where we are today if you'd asked me back in March. So pre-pandemic, things were looking sour.
And this is the Rambo axe. It's actually an axe.
Oh, it's just you can cut wood with
you
it.
You kill someone. Because you're better than that.
You're better than that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the volume down. One more time.
You're better than that.
It turns out, he said, that many young adults and teens, particularly females, are helping fuel the guitar revival as they snap up guitars to deal with the stress of the pandemic.
My wife, so we have an acoustic guitar, we have an electric guitar. Mm-hmm. I bought equipment for my wife. She desperately wants to learn. She sits down, and I also bought her this thing that is it's a small, like, fretboard, Preston, and it teaches you itself, you know, the finger placement, and it got rave reviews from, you know, you can, and it totally approaches the notion that you don't learn music, you don't learn to read, you learn how to play a few songs, and when you learn how to play a few songs, you can learn how to play a few, for fun. She's right. Not, you know, she's not going to be
Jimmy
Page.
If you really take to it, and then you want to learn the theory of it all,
yeah.
You can do that. But if you just want to learn the basic major chords
right.
and learn a few songs, you can do it. It's pretty easy to do. And if that's all that you want to get out of it, that's great, man. I started to tinker around with that a while. And then I bought my new electronic drum kit. And I haven't touched my guitar since because I fell in love with the drums.
Right.
But Casey and I were doing that for a while. We were coming in and learning some songs and just for fun.
And see, my problem is every time I try to learn, I'm like, oh, I like that song. Let me see if I can learn it. And then there's like a note in there. I'm like, gosh, it's too hard. Like, I you know, I can't bar and I don't have the patience.
What's the song you're most proud of being able to play?
Oh, I can't play any songs all the way through.
Grab the guitar behind
you. Nope.
Come on, play something.
I can't play anything. Okay.
Oh, no.
Honestly, I can't. No, I'm not going to.
Let's hear it. You played me something on my birthday, I remember.
I did that. But I can't, and this thing is probably way out of tune.
I'm sure it is.
I have been playing the same notes, G
and a D and a C and an A minor. I could do all that. Yeah. I've been doing that since I was 20 years old.
But there are people who have built careers on playing just a couple of chords.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I can't, like, I just don't have the patience. I don't have I don't know what you would call it, but...
discipline, maybe?
Discipline. Yeah. To sit there and
I'm the same.
Yeah.
It takes dedication and discipline, and Preston has it, and you and I don't.
No. You're doing piano, yes?
Yeah, but, like, you know, you come in and out of it, and some people are just dedicated to it. And listen, I am envious of them. I wish I were more dedicated when it came to this type of thing, but what Casey's describing is exactly what I'm going through, except that Casey has more talent than I do.
Play something you're proud of.
Play Eruption.
Eruption.
No, I can't. Yeah. No. It's an acoustic guitar. Here.
Play some Yngwie Malmsteen.
Right. Hang on. I learned this one in the beginning of the pandemic.
Okay.
All right.
It's a little ditty called Rambo Sad.
Kathy? Thank you for playing the horns. Thank you.
All right. Sure. Can you play something... Sweet.
I don't remember any. Here, bring up
play
the
chopsticks.
Go to Ultimate Guitar. It's like Ultimate Dash Guitar, and then pick up Patience by Guns N' Roses. You might have heard of those guys.
Yeah, a little slow. Thanks for remembering.
And there's a guy named Slash. He's a really great guitarist. That cat really knows how to play. You got to watch out for him. Mm-hmm. is this in tune?
It's not bad
for the most part. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, here
so
we go.
I don't remember. I can't, and that's the other part of it. I can't remember it. So, like, when Preston does his drum videos, like, dude, how do you remember
play
all of that stuff?
Play.
Stop talking.
Play.
I need the notes to come up.
You like Jackson Brown?
They're pulling it up on the monitor here. Casey asked me, "How do you remember all that stuff?" I just said, "You got to practice it. You have to do it over and over and over and over until you're sick and tired of it."
It's a problem of practicing. You have to practice.
Yeah, it's hard. By the way, a text here says, "Hey guys, this is Andy Bree from Paul Gilbert's crew here." Paul is an amazing guitarist, by the way. He was here in our studio a while back. He says, "My guitar repair shop in Philly has been rocking since pandemic. Everybody is playing." He says, "It's crazy." Well, that's cool.
Good so you can read music, Casey?
Oh, this is called that's tablature.
That's tabs. I need chords. Yeah, you don't know.
Like Matt.
Like I need a Matt chord, yeah, right? I can't remember.
I'll see if I can find it.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Why don't I just play the songs?
Play it.
All right, so there we go.
Okay. Old McDonald
had a farm. No, go down to where the all words right. come up there.
There's no words on it.
There's no words on it. Keep going where it says verse one here. Okay, there it is. See, it starts
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Shed a tear because I'm missing you.
Ooh, he's singing too.
Still all right to smile.
Smile.
In the every day now.
By the way, it's hard to play when you're nervous playing for other people.
Oh, my God.
You hurt your finger?
It's a good thing we're not on air, though.
Seriously. I don't know why you do this.
It's awesome.
Right, why are we doing this again?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because of
right.
the guitar, the booming guitars.
The guitar industry is soaring right now.
How's the gong industry doing?
Gongs are not doing that well right now because it's tough to play at home with everybody else home.
Unless you're doing noisy. Days of Future Past.
That's what kind of sucks about learning drums, to be honest, is the fact that if you're the drummer in the house, everybody has to listen to it all the time.
As electric drums eliminate that, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do, and you can also there are pads and things you can put on acoustic drums to dampen the noise a little bit, but it's not as fun.
Nick Murphy's in-laws, they're from West Virginia, and they do these things that like I'm so jealous of. Because they all had these sit-arounds, and they all play, and they sing together, and they harmonize, and they're all great. Like,
really?
I love that. When I was a kid...
Yeah, that'd be great.
When I was a kid, when my...
I'm going to F you like an animal.
No, but, like, when I was a kid, my family, they would have parties, and they all brought guitars, and once they got nice and, you know, schnockered up...
Yeah.
They would all go to the trunks of their car, grab their guitars, sit in a circle, and they're gone. Well, the one person, my cousin Michelle, she was the gonger.
Yeah.
And but they would just, and it was just so much fun.
It does seem fun.
Yeah.
It's like a real sort of
Southern thing to sit down, you know, and with your jug.
We did that when we were in Sweden. We stayed with Rochelle's family, and a couple of members of the family played instruments. And at some point, we all got together, and I'm like, I play drums. So they had bongos, and we jammed.
What music did you do?
We played Sir Duke from Stevie Wonder.
Oh,
believe it or not, which was really cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, if you have a group that can get together and just jam like that, that's a lot of fun. So anyhow, if you've been picking up the guitar, you're not alone. Maybe this will mean, and there we go. Maybe this will mean in the next decade phase, we'll see an increase in rock music.
It's possible. I think that'd be great. Yeah. Learning how to play certainly helps.
You'll probably be able to get a lot of bargains on guitars next year when people give up on everything.
Prices have never been lower. Our used guitar section is overflowing for guitars that people bought and returned.
Yep.
It's been a goddamn nightmare.
No, you're right about that. A lot of people will get it and try it and won't
and
follow through.
With every purchase of a guitar, get a banana bread dish.
Anything that's left over from the pandemic days, which, by the way, so that's on the rise. I have something that is phasing out. Vaping by teenagers in the U.S. Oh, God.
That's Gary Lauer, isn't it? Play it again.
Oh, my God.
Vaping has plunged this year, particularly among those in middle school.
It's like that scene, I guess.
Middle school?
Vaping in middle school?
Yeah, well, I mean...
has plunged. It's going away, yeah, it's right? Going.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, the fact that they were in the first place.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. In a national survey by the CDC, just under 20% of high school students and 5% of middle schoolers say they'd recently vaped. A big drop from the 28% of high school students and 11% of those in middle school who said the same last year.
Well, I think also the fact, are the vaping places open, or are they even, what was the last pre-pandemic, what was the status of vaping places? Vaping gear and for sale.
They had to be on the way out too, because there was so much, I mean, really, like at the end of 2019, a huge news story was vaping and how difficult it was and how increasingly bad for you it was. We were learning that it was.
But not only that, they got taxed out the ass.
They got taxed out the ass.
Yeah. And so.
Ass taxers.
And now people are wary of putting anything in their lungs that they probably shouldn't.
Right. Yeah. So they.
You know the side effects.
I had 3 testicles.
Yeah, you don't want that.
They say that the factors for the big decline include higher age limits to buy vaping products, bans on flavored products, and last year's outbreak of vaping-related illnesses and deaths, which may have scared off some teens.
As far as smoking is concerned, I was at a store one time, and there was a lady ordering cigarettes, and she was coughing like that, and it was, like, gnarly. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the lady that was serving her, she was gagging. She was like, I can't lay. And it was, she felt bad.
Yeah.
But like, it was just her natural reaction to like, she hurt. And because it was over and over again. I was like, man, lady, like, you really should maybe consider
quitting. You really got me going. Yeah.
No, consider quitting.
Dude, yeah.
That's my sister. And she does it when she laughs. And I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. You hear that crap rattling around in
stirring
there.
Up.
Like, how do you keep doing this? I know it's hard to quit. It's very hard. I did it. It's really hard. But when you're done and you're finished, my God, are you a happier person?
It's like stirring up like a snot stew.
Yeah.
It kind of feels good though. That loose phlegm kind of getting coughed up. It there's a.
You always have a meal at the ready.
You always like. You always enjoyed that.
Well, so like you. You know when you get sick and you have that hard cough, right?
It's like diarrhea. It's like an old friend.
But when the cough starts
to break. When you clear
it? Yeah, when that cough starts to break up and you have that looser phlegm in there.
That's good. Yeah.
It's sort of a better feeling than the initial cough that was really, really bad. Do you know what I mean? And so when you have that, it's.
You know what's great?
It's bizarre,
breathing
man.
Freely is awesome.
It's real. Listen, I understand. It really is. Like, I.
What a feeling.
When I'm out cycling and stuff like that, and because I don't smoke anymore, and I can feel that, and I can breathe deeper, like, that's a great feeling. But I do understand that, like, it's bizarre.
Well, yeah, you're relieved from feeling from a negative feeling to a better feeling. So why don't just, you know, Avoid the negative feeling altogether. Okay.
Accentuate anyway. The positive.
Vaping's on the way out. Woo! Guitars are on the way in. Woo! It's a world gone mad, ladies and gentlemen. And the A to Z continues. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second with music. In the R's, we'll get to the Bizarre File. And we have drummer Ray Luzier, of the most famously for the band Korn, is going to be a part of this Neil Peart tribute, which is coming up this weekend. So we're going to talk to him. We'll be back in a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Can't find another reason why this one hurts. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Fall's perfect time for enjoying dinner on the patio or drinks on the deck. You can get your yard ready with the end-of-season showroom clearance sale at Sequoia Outback, Route 309 in Hatfield, or DeckSupplies.com. The California Department of Parks and Recreation closed all trails in the Santa Monica Mountains over the Labor Day weekend. And Nick, you're talking about how hot it is out that way. A woman died hiking there in extremely high temperatures. Yeah, other hikers had to be rescued. Malibu Search and Rescue posted a tweet pleading with people not to hike in the heat wave. A 41-year-old woman whose name was not released collapsed while hiking with a friend Saturday near Calabasas. Temperatures soared to at least 110 degrees. Officials said the death was likely heat-related.
It gets away from you.
And a 22-year-old woman on a Malibu beach was rescued Sunday after she lost consciousness, apparently due to the heat. This is on the beach.
Yeah.
Where the water's right there. Los Angeles County recorded its highest temperatures over on Sunday, 121 degrees in Woodland Hills.
Jesus. That's got to help with the fires.
And of course, it's helping fuel the fires. Yeah, it's crazy. A man was arrested on Sunday after police say he tried to steal a taxi and drive off with a three-month-old inside. Officers were called after receiving reports of a domestic disturbance. When officers arrived, they reportedly encountered Travis Delaney walking with a stroller close to the location of the disturbance. A three-month-old child was in the stroller. After speaking with Delaney, officers found that he was intoxicated and tried to call him a taxi. When the taxi arrived, Delaney wouldn't get in. Officers had no choice after his refusal but to take him into custody for public intoxication. While they were attempting to arrest him, he tried to steal the taxi and drive away with it.
That's a bad day.
With the child inside. He was taken into custody after a brief physical altercation, and he was arrested. A Jefferson County man was killed when he was hit by a neighbor's golf cart and then trapped beneath it.
Oh, man.
A coroner's office had identified the victim as Eric Van Tyree. He was 52. Witnesses reported that Tyree was out working in his yard. His 72-year-old neighbor driving a golf cart stopped to visit him. And when the driver went to leave, he didn't realize the gear was in reverse and accidentally backed over Tyree.
And killed him.
After the impact, the golf cart overturned, and then Tyree became trapped beneath it. Once he was freed, he was taken to the hospital, and he died from his injuries. Man, those things are more dangerous than you think they are.
Yeah.
They're really, really, really heavy. All right, we're doing a short Bizarre File. In the interest of time, we got to do a quickie. So we'll end with, I got to go with this one because this just happened the other day. An Austrian man beat his own record for the longest full body contact with ice cubes on Saturday. Joseph Koberl had managed to stay 2 hours, 30 minutes, and 57 seconds inside a custom-made glass box filled up to his shoulders with ice cubes. More than 440 pounds of ice cubes were needed to fill up the box after Koberl had stepped inside wearing nothing but swim trunks.
So, obviously, there's a risk of exposure, right? What are that called? Did he survive that?
I said, in order to fight the wave of pain caused by the freezing temperatures, he was trying to focus on positive emotions. He said, I'm fighting the pain by visualizing and drawing on positive emotions so I can dampen this wave of pain. That way I can endure.
He did just so what he was thinking about was the Kardashian announcement that the show's over.
So happy.
That's what got him through.
A small crowd of people watched as Koberl had beat his own record in 2019 by 30 minutes on the town square of Melk in Lower Austria. After being taken out of the ice box by helpers, he said that the sun felt really great on his back.
My penis is very small right now. Yeah, I think the ice made my penis get small.
I can imagine, yes. Corbel is planning to beat his own record one more time next year in Los Angeles.
Mm.
His team said that Corbel's personal record is also the current world record when it comes to exposing the body to ice for as long as possible. Wow. All right, and there you go. That is the Bizarre File for now. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. A couple things on the way. We're going to get to Trash and Music News, and we also have drummer Ray Luzier on the show from Korn, and there's a special tribute to my favorite drummer, Neil Peart, going on over the weekend. So we'll talk to him about that back in a moment. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It is our A to Z. Playing all of it, man. We're in the R's as we speak. Really adventurous stuff is coming up in the next few minutes. And you can follow along, see what we've played as it's being played at WMMR.com. If you want to keep track, Chuck was saying, I think we have like over 800 songs yet to go.
Oh, my God.
Because yeah. He was asking Casey what number we're on. He was like, we're like 1,500 or something like that. He's like, yeah, they've got another eight and change to go. So well,
it'll be a little while then.
That is how voluminous the WMMR library is. So we're excited about it. We have a guest to speak to. I'm excited about this as well. Not necessarily for the reason, but I'm excited because a tribute is being paid to a man who is a huge influence in my life, and some incredibly talented people are coming together to do this. Modern Drummer Magazine, which is the Bible for those who play drums like myself, have their festival 2020, and they're doing a tribute to Neil Peart. It is going to be this Saturday at 8 p.m., and obviously all this stuff is virtual, so it's not a big gathering. It's going to be people performing on their own.
But they've gotten very efficient at making these things work.
Agreed. And you can get tickets through livexlive.com. Ticket sales are going to benefit brain tumor research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center because it was a brain tumor that took Neil Peart in January. And to the surprise of almost everyone, just a small group of people knew that he was sick. But pretty much everybody was in the dark. And that's why it was so shocking when it happened. I'm going to play a little clip of our next guest playing drums. I had the opportunity to meet him one time just for a brief moment. Super nice guy, but what a drummer. So this is a little bit of Ray playing live. He was at a demo, and this is just a short clip of him playing. I'm sorry. That was me. I played that by accident. I didn't realize. Oh, do I have egg on my face? I didn't know that was from one of my live performances. I lie.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Korn and many other projects, please welcome Ray Luzier to the show. Ray.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. How you doing, bud?
Sound like a big pile of drums falling down a step.
You squeeze a lot of notes in, man. Hey, real quick, I want to fanboy on you for a moment, and then we'll get to the meat of why we're talking to you today, Ray. Korn was not, it really wasn't in my wheelhouse as far as a band goes, and the first time I ever saw you play live was we had our MMRBQ festival here in Philadelphia, and you were playing with Jonathan Davis solo. And I went out to watch. We're busy during that day. We're working. We're meeting fans and doing a bunch of other things. But I'm like, I want to go out and check out Jonathan because he's been here in our studio before. He was a really nice guy. We got along with him well. So I definitely wanted to see it. I watched him for just a moment. The rest of the time, I was transfixed on you. And my buddy Chuck here at the radio station, I was telling him how impressed I was with your performance. He's like, okay, you need to meet him. And so he introduced me to you just real quick. You were gracious. You had got done with a show. It's not the time to really talk to a musician right after they get done with their show. But you were really, really kind. And I just want to tell you how impressed I was and now what a fan I am of you.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. It means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So I want to ask you about your Neil's influence on you. When you were coming up and you were learning your chops and when Rush came into your life and how he affected your playing.
Yeah, big time. I mean, I grew up on a big farm in out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So about 180 acres and there's nothing to do out there. So you either bale hay or play drums or ride a horse. So I didn't know, no one taught me anything. I was self-taught, but I would put records on. So I would put on, you know, AC/DC, Ozzy, Kiss. And then, of course, Rush. And I just remember when I was young, probably 8 or 9, you know, you play side one of Back in Black and then side one of Moving Pictures. And you're like, wait a minute, how come it's so much harder to play this one and not, you know, the AC/DC? Yeah. And so immediately I knew there was something special. And I didn't, you know, what prog is or any kind of that terminology back then. You just played. And just immediately from that, that was the first Rush record I ever got. And it just, this, you know, took me by storm, and I was a fan ever since.
When you were going through the catalog, and I you know, like you, would play along to the music and try to, you know, work out the songs. What song of Rush that had you mastered and were most proud of that you can remember?
That I can remember back in the day, probably, I love that song, Red Barchetta, off of Moving Pictures. It's something really cool. I love the, I don't know, there's something really cool about that song. But, you know, the obvious answer for a lot of drummers is 2112 or, you know, any of the big epic, you know, 15-minute pieces. But I was always attracted just to whatever, about the whole song, you know, and Neil's playing just spoke for itself. And just, wow, what an impact, you know.
You know, and there are people that are, it seems to be drummers in the rock world, or there's a couple of camps that you fall into. You fall into a Bonham camp. You fall into a Neil camp. It doesn't mean that you don't love both and you don't want to play like both of them, but I see people kind of side with one or the other and have mutual respect out of that as well. Neil's playing, to me, I gravitated towards that, more towards Bonham. Bonham was a god. He was just incredible. He did amazing things. But there was something about Neil's intent and the way that he played and the very specific nature of every note and how he had thought out exactly what he wanted to be a part of that song. I mean, like, he didn't just play it. He really thought hard about it.
A lot of preparation and pre-production and Rush records, for sure.
And prog sense tends to lend itself to that, I think, that type of very precise type of performance, because there's a lot of musicians playing very specific notes together and so on. Do you find yourself as that type of player as well, or do you leave yourself a little more leeway to get creative as you're playing?
Well, I try to do both. You know, I love improvisation when I play. You know, a lot of times when I go to these drummer festivals, you know, I did one in Quebec. Manchester last year. The Quebec was the year before. And that was a complete improvised solo. And sometimes that's scary, but I love being on the seat of my pants with that stuff. But that being said, when you're in a studio and you're doing a record, that record is going to outlive us all. You know, the music is going to live on when we're all dead and gone. So that's in my brain a lot too. So, you know, with the Korn 3, you Remember Who You Are record, we got back with our producer Ross Robinson, and it was completely just on the cuff, and there was no fixes. And that's hard to live with sometimes, because if you make a mistake, you know, it's that's it.
Yeah.
You
know? So, yeah.
Hey. But I also don't like the perfection records either. People are polishing stuff too much these days, and it sounds so perfect that you're like, and you watch them live, you're like, you don't sound like that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you need to leave some room for a little bit of soul in there, you know?
Absolutely, man. We're humans. We all make mistakes daily. I make one every couple of seconds.
Yeah, join the club, you know? Yeah.
Hey,
you know, you got to be real.
Another thing about Neil Ray that I was kind of in the dark on. I took a pause from drumming for a long, long time. It has since resurfaced in my life, and I'm really happy about that. And I've been working really hard the past couple of years. But one of the things that I was not aware of is the close-knit community that drummers have, because one of the things that I saw when Neil passed away was not only, you know, your Mike Portnoy's and people like yourself who directly took a lesson or two from Neil, but I saw from people like in the jazz world, like Dave Weckl and Peter Erskine, and these guys were well aware of Neil and his impact and were friends. I thought those were different worlds and they didn't mix with each other. But there is we do formatically cross those lines simply being drummers. And do you find yourself, you know, people in other, you know, completely different formats of music have respect for each other?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one cool thing about drummers, and not saying that guitar players have more ego or anything like that, but they're always trying to kind of show each other up. At least they were back in the day when there's tons of leads. But drummers have this, there's a bonding brotherhood amongst us. It's really weird. Like, I love going to those drummer festivals, and, you know, obviously this year's Modern Drummer one is virtual, but I love the hangs and stuff, because you meet these, like, specialists from, you know, South America, and you'll meet some guy that beats on tree logs in Africa, and then you got, you know, your Portnoy's and your Thomas Langs and all those guys, and then you have, you know, and it's so cool, because we go out to these dinners and we just have the most random conversations, and we're all just people. You know, we have, obviously, that's why music's so diverse. It would be boring if it was all the same. You know, there's so many, you got to be open-minded out there, you know, no matter what you're doing. If you're listening, if you're playing, you have to be an open-minded person, you know.
Yeah. Right. We had Ray Parker Jr. on recently, and we were kind of ignorant to the fact that he was a very well-respected session musician, and he talked about all the instruments that he'd played, and then he found the guitar, and he actually thought he was a bad musician because he couldn't improvise. He didn't have the improvisational spark with any other the instruments except the guitar. And to us, as now Preston plays, but we're sort of neophytes with this, there has to be a moment where you realize, or there was a moment, I assume, where you realized you could express yourself through the drums and create music in the moment. Do you recall that moment?
Yeah, I mean, well, when I left Pittsburgh, I went to L.A. to join, to go to that school, Musicians Institute.
Oh, yeah.
And I went there, and I ended up teaching there in 92 off and on around tours when I was with David Lee Roth and a couple other national bands I was playing with. But they kind of force you to you know, get up on stage with a mic drum kit, and they're always like, express yourself. You know, what do you have to say? Don't just, you know, it's okay to mimic your idols. It's okay to, you know, look up to people, but find yourself too, you know. And that was a really turning point for me, is teaching there more than being a student there, because I would watch people from all over the world play, and I was like, it all kind of came together in your head of like, oh, if I just do this and I relax and I don't let my nerves get the best of me, just, you know, speak truly what comes through me, which is all the vast amount of music I grew up listening to. You know, it all comes through you.
That's got
to
be cool. That's got to be the thing that I'm not. It's a rare gift to have, because it seems the purest form of. I mean, I'll do improvisational comedy, which is I guess a variation on that. But to be that spontaneous and just have it flow through has got to be something magical.
Yeah, it is. It's really unique, and the one thing is, you never ever master, or you never get close to being where you want to be. You know, that's what's cool about what we do. You know, I just turned 50 not long ago, and I'm like, I feel like I have light years to go. Just in the, there's no plateau you hit, and I always tell musicians, if you hit that plateau, you should probably go do something else, go to law school or something.
Yeah, I was at a clinic one time with Dave Weckl, and you guys don't know who he is, but Ray does, and he's probably one of the greatest to ever pick up a pair of sticks. And there was a Q&A, and I said, so do you think you'll get any better than you are? You know, I asked a dumb question like that. He's listening to me, goes like, I hope I will be better than I am now. So everybody always wants to improve. Listen, there's a lot of big names on this, you know, and these festivals always have them, but paying tribute to Neil will be Stuart Copeland, Carmen Appice, Greg Bissonette, Taylor Hawkins, Chad Smith, Steve Smith, Kenny Aronoff, Mike Portnoy, And I guess people are going to prepare solos. In fact, I've been following on social media Brian Tichy, who's a great drummer, and he's more of a Bonham guy. But he is he's toiling over putting together a proper solo to pay homage to Neil. What is going to be your take on what you're going to play? Are you going to incorporate any elements, any signature elements of Neil, or are you just going to go up there and throw something out?
I did this weird guitar solo. I'm doing this two-hand tapping thing. It's really cool. Now, I didn't do I messed you all up, didn't I?
Yeah. Took a totally different direction.
Well, Tishy texted me the other day. He's like, man, what'd you do for your solo? And I'm like, what solo? I ain't doing no, no way, man. And, you know, there's some big boys on that thing, you know. Yeah. And I go, I actually did a medley, a really quick two-song medley of Korn and KXM, my side band with George Lynch and Doug Pinnick. So I didn't even, I just did a, it's definitely Neil influenced, and but I just did my thing to music like I like to do, you know. So,
okay.
But the cool thing is my interview, you know, we're to say words about what Neil did to us and how he influenced our lives. And I thought the ultimate, Nick Raskulinix, he produced the last two Korn records and he did the last two Rush records. And he got so close to Neil, those last two records. And the studio bond's a totally different thing. So I actually said, you know what? I'm driving to Rock Falcon, which is 20 minutes from my house in Nashville. And I said, Nick, I'm going to sit down with you. He's doing the Evanescence record right now. And I go, tell Amy Lee to go in the back room for 10 minutes. I'm going to talk to you. And we did. We sat there and I said, just tell me about Neil. And he gave me chills, man. He brought out a pair of sticks, one of Neil's, the last songs he recorded ever. And dude, you talk about goosebumps on top of goosebumps. I was like, you'll see the interview. I'm like, I literally gasping. I stuttering my words because it was just like, what the heck, you know? So yeah, it was pretty. So I love my interview part. That's for sure.
Did you ever cross paths with Neil in your years?
I did. Yes, he did. I judged a drum off, Guitar Center drum off in Los Angeles quite some time ago, probably 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there was a backstage area, of course. And the Sabian guy, Chris Stanky, is a good friend of mine. Came out and goes, "Hey man, do you want to meet the man?" I go, "I just met Peter Chris." And he goes, "I go, is that the man? Because I thought it was." He goes, "No, dude, come on." He goes, "Neil's back in this little booth back here, but he's kind of hiding out. I'm like, "Are you freaking kidding me?" Like, I go, "Of course I want to." And I just went up to him and I said straight up, I go, "Thank you, professor, for everything." And he goes, "You play for Korn, right?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, that's an aggressive band. You have to have a lot of energy for that." And we were just talking very small talk, but man, it's a moment I'll never forget. You know,
that's amazing, man. Yeah. Listen, I wanted to say, Ray, as I had, you know, saw you with Jonathan Davis, and one of the reasons that I was transfixed on you is you're a very kinetic player. You're a very showy player. You put a lot in between of the movements of what you're doing. And I'm talking about stick tosses and all that other stuff, which I was surprised to hear you say that you're self-taught, because I thought you might have been like a drumline guy or something like that.
Well, you know, I played stacks of records for years and years. But when I did get into high school, I did join Marching Corps. But it was the, you know, freaking Amish pig farmer.
The local high school. Yeah. It wasn't, you weren't on the Blue Devils, right?
No. It was like, I mean, not in the sticks, you know, but I mean, we, you know, from back then, you think it's every, so I joined the jazz, the symphonic concert band. But so, of course, I learned, you know, I watched a lot of those things and was trying to get the drum line to do more fancier stuff. And, you know, through the years and, you know, a bunch of failed original bands, when I joined David Lee Roth's band in 97, he's always the one that was like, "Luzier, you know, put on a show back there. Don't make that waiting for the bus look on your face, you know." And so Dave taught me a lot about showbiz, and I incorporated all that marching stuff, you know, through the years. He's always like, "People are paying money to see you, Luzier." So it was like, I would, you know, sorry, I have to do the Dave when I talk about Dave. But it's like, you know, so that's, thank you for noticing that. I try not to be a, you know, showboat, or I don't want to be a ham back there, but I do want to, when you're live, I believe in giving people a show. I don't like that whole, you know, the drummer's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Waiting for the bus look, you know, give me a show. I paid money to see, you know, so that's what I do.
You and Greg Bissonette both played for Dave. Do you guys reminisce about those days?
We do. There's a ton. You're going to want to read my book one day. I'm putting together this rock book about, like, it's not about like, oh, Mr. Rockstar guy. It's about, you know, getting signed, getting dropped, you know, getting promised this, getting, and then me joining national bands. But 50% of my book's David Lee Roth, because it's just 8 years with that guy. You can't make that stuff up, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love him to death. He's the most amazing, one of the best entertainers ever. But there's a lot there. There's a lot of content.
You mentioned, getting picked up, dropped by labels. This is going to happen. It doesn't happen. A documentary that is all that Steve and I love is, I think it's called We Are Mother Effing Twisted Sister. Did you ever see that, Ray?
Yeah, I heard of it. I never saw it.
It's outstanding.
It's unbelievable.
Twisted Sister doesn't really mean much to my world, but it is such a great documentary. You got to see it.
But a lot of people don't realize that there. Like, they think, you know, your favorite band, they just think like, oh, they did it. They got signed and they're huge and they're famous. And a lot of people don't have any idea what some of us go through. And, you know, I did the hard road. You know, people think, yeah, October starts my 14th year with Korn, which I'm super stoked to still be in and we're still around. And I mean, Fieldy told me we had a year in 2007 when I got the gig. He's like, yeah, wow. We got another year left. And here we are. And, you know, still making music and soon to be touring when this whole virus crap's over. But, you know, people have no idea. So that's why, like, I always told myself, I'm going to put a book together. It's going to be about the realism of, like, you know, getting promised all this stuff. Because they just think, like, you know, practicing and trying to get really good at your art is just one part of the whole equation, you know.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of artists, luck has a lot to do with all of it. I just saw on Twitter there was a story about how Eminem – there was somebody at the record label. I think it might have been Interscope. I don't know if that's the same record label you're on, but an intern came across Eminem's demo tape, and that's how he got discovered.
I'm telling you, man, it's a lot of that right place at the right time kind of thing. And I tell people that at my clinics and my teachings and everywhere, and they're like, oh yeah, but you worked your ass off. I'm like, yeah, I did. I really worked hard. You know, played 6-8 hours a day for I don't know how many years. And but it is, you know, look, if Army of Anyone, my band before Korn, if it wasn't for me being on the same management, you know, we were on the firm managed Korn, the firm managed Army of Anyone. And when I got with Robert Dean DeLeo, you know, I remember saying, wow, they got Korn. That's really cool. I've always liked that band. And I went to the Beverly Hills office one day and there was a new Korn record. See you on the other side sitting there. And I go, hey, can I grab a copy of that? And he's like, sure. And it was just, you know, never in a million years I would ever think I'd become in that band. But hadn't it be for our management being the same, I don't know if I would ever got a shot. Because when they were having drummer problems, when the original drummer David quit and they had Terry Bozzio filling in on the record, they had Joey Jordison from Slipknot, they had Brooks Wackerman from Now Avenged Sevenfold, all these drummers were, you know, filling in. I told my manager, I go, what the heck's going on with Korn? You know, he's like, they're looking for someone permanent. And then the demise of Army of Anyone, I said, hey man, and he goes, go up there and play, you know, Joey's last gig is in Seattle, go up there and play a couple songs with him. I go, in the empty arena? He's like, absolutely. That's what I did. I played 6 songs. They said, welcome to Korn. And
wow,
there you go. Wow.
Well, and Ray, you also know that all you have to do is look on YouTube. There are virtuoso musicians. I'm not saying that, you know, they're a dime a dozen, but there are so many great musicians that will probably do nothing more than jam with their friends in the neighborhood because they eventually have to pay bills, and they may do it as a side thing for the rest of their lives. But I mean, really super talented people.
Oh, dude, I have a virtuoso buddy working at a coffee shop here in Nashville, and this guy can play circles around most guitar players out there. And he's I don't know if he'll ever, you know, see the light, because you don't know if you're going to be in the right place or get that break. And it kind of sucks because I feel for these people. You know, when I'm on tour in whatever country we're in, I always go check out local bands, and I see stuff that just blows my mind, you know, and I say to myself, like, wow, I'm so lucky that I'm playing arenas right now. This poor kid, I don't know if he'll ever get out of club,
right,
you know, or whatever. So yeah, I feel for people, man. I do. Yeah.
I never knew how bad I sucked until YouTube came along. I thought I was pretty good.
Dude, it's scary, man. There's freaking people playing Tom Sawyer in their 10.
Yes! It's insane. It is insane. Well, listen, man, I'm looking forward to seeing your performances as well as everybody else's. And like I said at the top of the interview, this is an unfortunate reason for everybody to get together and do this, but nonetheless impressive and necessary. And, you know, it's a tribute to a guy who influenced, I mean, countless drummers throughout the world.
And he always will, man. His music will live on and his inspiration will live on. That's what's great about this.
So it's the Modern Drummer Festival 2020 tribute to Neil Peart. It's going to be at 8 o'clock Saturday. You can go to livexlive.com. And we hope to see you in Philly live in person sometime in the near future, Ray, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I can't wait.
All right, thanks for coming on. Ray Luzier, guys. Yeah. Take care. He's fantastic.
Nice guy.
If you're not familiar or if corn isn't your thing, you can just type in Ray Luzier, which is spelled L-U-Z-I-E-R on YouTube, and sit back and watch because he's amazing. All right, we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a $50 Rita's gift card if you can answer this question correctly. What's the sitcom spinoff of The Walking Dead? 215-263-WMMR. What is the sitcom spinoff of The Walking Dead that we spoke of earlier this morning? 215-263-WMMR, and we'll do this while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by your local Dietz and Watson Real Philly Delis. They are open for takeout, and you can taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local business. RealPhillyDeli.com. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939. What's up, Steve?
Well, Denise Richards has decided to leave the cast of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Richards says she wants to spend more time with her family, but won't. Victoria Fuller, revealing that she and Bachelor star Chris Soules have called it quits. Victoria says she's living her best life, while Soules says he can't be with someone who says they're living their best life.
Hey!
Olaf from the Frozen movies is getting his very own origin story. Once Upon a Snowman will show Olaf's life before Anna and Kristoff when he was living his toilet water. And that's your Hollywood Journey.
All right, hey. Let's see if we can get an answer to this question. What is the sitcom spinoff of The Walking Dead? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I'm going to go to Tyler. Hey, Tyler.
What's up?
Yo, buddy. All right, what is the sitcom spinoff of The Walking Dead?
It is That's So Keegan.
Oh,
he's
man.
Right in... Yeah. It depends on how generous you feel.
I'm going to give it to him. Yeah. He was listening. It's Negan is the name of the character. Negan, not Keegan.
Oh.
That's So Negan. Yeah, hang on the line. We're going to get your information. We are going to give you a $50 Rita's gift card. Summer is still on in full force at Rita's, and you can head to Rita's for all your favorite delicious frozen treats. It's Summer of Yum at Rita's.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
I had three testicles.
All right. Pearl Jam has announced a new PJ Votes 2020 initiative. The band is asking their fan base to accept the Take Three pledge of vote by mail, recruit three friends, and don't wait. The band's bassist, Jeff Ahmed, explained it's about reminding people that their voice matters and their voice can make a big difference. Like a lot of things, if you find out that your good friends are doing something, you become more curious about it and more invested in it. And what we found with voting is that when people you're living with or your family or your best friends are voting, then you tend to vote as well. Along with the newly announced voting initiative, Pearl Jam has partnered with leading national organizations like People for the American Way, the League of Conservation Voters, as well as select regional organizations like Make the Road Pennsylvania to promote voting by mail. For more information, you can log on to pearljam.com. So it is called the PJP Votes 2020 Initiative. Earlier this week, Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea took social media to pay tribute to the band's late guitarist, Jack Sherman, who died last month at the age of 64. Flea wrote in part, "It's taken me a couple of weeks to process the death of Jack Sherman. Our relationship was complicated. We stopped playing music together in 1985, and things were often fraught in the rare times that we communicated since. He taught me about diet, to eat clean, and be conscious of my body. But more than anything, he was my friend. We came from very different backgrounds, had different worldviews, and it was hard for us to relate to one another often. But the excitement we shared over music and the joy that bubbled up between us will last forever. Rest in peace, Sherm. I love you." He was a member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers from 1983 to 1984. That's it. And played on their self-titled debut album. But he's also a songwriter on their 1985 sophomore album, Freaky Style. Ozzy Osbourne has revealed that work on his new album has been delayed because his producer, Andrew Watt, has been diagnosed with COVID-19.
Huh.
Ozzy told Rolling Stone, "I'm trying to write something new with Andrew, but he had COVID. He was very sick, and he still is." He said, "The thing about this effing COVID thing is, I don't think they really know what they're effing dealing with. It changes. One time we're told it's harmful to older people. Now it's also harmful to young kids. It's weird. He said, but Andrew was one of the first ones to get it, and he's still kind of sick with it. He has good days and bad days, you know. It Fs up your lungs. When asked how the writing for the new album was going, he said, we're supposed to be doing it. But he texted me the other day and said, I have to ask for some time. And I said, whenever you're ready, call me. It's a momentous occasion. Well, you know, before we do that, let me do this one. This is a sad news. Ronald Bell, also known as Kalis Bien and the co-founder of Kool and the Gang with his brother Robert Kool Bell, died suddenly on Wednesday morning at his home in the U.S. Virgin Islands. He was 68 years old. No cause of death has been announced at this time. But Ronald and his older brother Robert joined forces with their Jersey City neighborhood friends, Dennis Thomas, Robert Mickens, Charles Smith, George Brown, and Ricky West, in 1964 to whip up a unique blend of jazz, soul, and funk. They had recycled their name many times before settling on Kool and the Gang in 1969. Ronald Bell acted as Kool and the Gang's chief composer, so he wrote the songs, you
know.
There
you go.
And he was the arranger on top of mastering the saxophone and keyboard. He eventually penned the group's first and only number one hit, which was this, Celebration. He told Billboard in a 2018 interview about the lyrical and religious inspirations of the song. He said, at the end of Ladies' Night, we were singing, Come On, Let's All Celebrate. So celebration comes from the end of Ladies' Night. But I actually saw that in a scripture I was reading. Where the creator of the universe that created man and the angels were all celebrating for doing so. And from that idea, it sparked writing Celebration. He also wrote, and listen to these songs, he wrote Jungle Boogie, Hollywood Swingin', and Get Down On It.
Those are awesome.
Huge, yeah. R&B hits,
Get
man.
Get Down On It.
I love each and every one of those songs. Kool and the Gang has notched a total of 25 top 10 hits on Billboard's Hot R&B and Hip Hop Songs chart. They won a Grammy Award for Album of the Year with the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, 5 American Music Awards, and took home BET's Soul Train Lifetime Achievement Award in 2014. They sold 70 million albums worldwide and earned 17 gold and platinum certified singles. The Bell Brothers, Brown and Kool and the Gang, and vocalist James J.T. Taylor were all inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2018.
Did Taco ever play with the family?
This is Jungle Boogie. Taco?
Taco Bell?
No, he did not. Survived by his wife, Tia Sinclair Bell, and he had 10 children as
well.
Wow. So,
well, good for him.
But a great legacy of music left behind. And then one last thing, speaking of legacy type of music, I mean, they're not gone, but the band's going to be done soon. But it was 45 years ago today, September 10th, 1975, that Kiss released its fourth album with the breakthrough double live set Alive.
I remember the release of this.
Oh, God. Yeah. It was huge,
man. Seems like yesterday.
Yeah. The album, which was produced by Eddie Kramer, was called from concerts in Detroit, Cleveland, Wildwood, New Jersey.
That's right.
And Davenport, Iowa, while on the road to support the band's then recent Dress to Kill album. The band admittedly sweetened the live tapes at New York City's Electric Ladyland Studios prior to the release.
Is that where this one comes from?
Yep. Alive, like Peter Frampton's 1976 blockbuster Frampton Comes Alive, featured the cream of the band's studio sets.
We creamed all over it.
With the crucial element of the band's live show, which had yet to translate to vinyl or notable record sales. Alive peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Top 200 album charts and featured the band's signature call to arms, Rock and Roll All Night, which is this, of course. The track listing was Deuce, Strutter, Got to Choose, Hotter Than Hell, Firehouse, Nothing to Lose, Come On and Love Me, Parasite, She, Watching You, 100,000 Years, Black Diamond, Rock Bottom, Cold Gin, Rock and Roll All Night, and Let Me Go Rock and Roll. This album was huge, and also it had pictures of what a Kiss concert looked like.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God, you know?
Gave you a boner, didn't it?
It did give me a boner. So Gene had said that the band's label, Casablanca, was dead set against the band releasing a costly double live album. Gene said, we were on our last legs. Casablanca.
Casablanca's my ex-wife.
Was going to go belly up. We didn't get paid for the album. In fact, when we told the record company we were going to do a live record, they didn't want to do that because live records didn't work. In those days, a live album was a liability. You did that after your career was over.
No, he's right.
Yeah. Do I even know the studio version of this song?
Maybe. Do you have it?
I don't know. I don't know if this is a studio version or not, but I'll just hit the button.
Okay, go ahead.
I just hit it.
It's very quiet.
Hit it again.
Yeah. Oh, you hear that? Yeah, it's not working.
It's not working.
That's
okay.
Weird.
Yeah, you've probably heard it. But okay. But the one that gets the most airplay by far is the live version,
huh.
Kiss Alive. So it's 45 years ago today. And there you go. That's what I have in music news for you. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get ready to wrap the thing up and continue more of the A to Z. Stay with us. Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait. We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
A lot of people texting and saying we have a bit of a rat problem. 93.3 WMMR, round and round, biggest hit from those guys, Rat. And I do look back fondly on that band and those songs and that genre in general. It's fun to go back and listen to some of that, you know, glam metal.
Yeah,
had its day. And it's great to see them on that Geico commercial, man.
And they look pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So, 10:53, we're in the R's for the A to Z Homeschool Edition 2020, which is brought to you by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And Pierre will step in a moment and continue this musical journey. I want to thank Caitlin Bristow, yeah, who is on to promote Dancing with the Stars. She was a lovely young lady.
She was a lovely young girl. She called you one of the bachelorettes.
That's right.
Wait a second. The bachelorette.
Yeah, you're dead. Sorry.
I'm dead. I'm up in heaven, but I'm still a big fan of the show.
So it was nice to have her on, and that is going to be on Monday at 8 p.m. And we had a great conversation with drummer Ray Luzier.
Yes.
He's going to be a part of the Neil Peart tribute on Saturday. It's online, livexlive.com, to get tickets. It's like $13. The money's going to go to brain tumor research. But Ray played for Korn, David Lee Roth, super nice guy, amazing drummer. So it was cool to have him on this morning. How do you do, Pierre?
Good day. Actually, the more he kept talking, I go, where do I know him from? And then he referenced Army of Anyone, which was in between STP moments where Dean and Robert DeLeo teamed up with Richard from Filter,
mm-hmm.
and he was their drummer.
Yes.
And they came here and hung with us, all four of them. And they might have played something. I don't remember.
Hmm.
We had great chats. And I really wanted to hit him up on David Lee Roth because, you know, when he said he had 8 years with Dave and he started imitating his voice, I'm going, he's got some stories.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear him say? Oh, he says, if I write a book, half of it's going to be Dave.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Dave is, you know, say what you will about him, but you cannot not call him colorful.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the whole instruction to put on a bit of a show, to give the right. audience something, is as sage a piece of advice as you can give any entertainer.
Certainly, yeah. So Dave used to have this thing after his solo shows called Club Dave, which no artist would do even then. This is in the 90s, I guess. And he would reserve several rooms backstage and invite tons of people there and have a DJ for hours and have booze and food and occasionally young ladies.
Yeah.
And, it was wild. He called it Club Dave.
And Dave's all about show because, you know, if he's telling other band members to put on a show, because normally like kind of an egomaniacal lead singer will be like, no. The show is me.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And David's like, no, we're all putting on everybody be a part of this whole thing, you know?
Well, at the height of his solo career when he played the Spectrum, I was and still am quite a fan. He had who was the guitar hero?
Steve Vai.
He had Steve Vai playing the national anthem, and he disappears from the stage and all of a sudden reappears at the soundboard. And as Steve Vai is playing the national out of a lead, he goes into the national anthem, and David Lee Roth is climbing a rope ladder to the ceiling, whereupon he gets on a yellow Dayglo surfboard and surfs across the ceiling of the Spectrum singing California Girls, and it lands on the stage.
That's very high up.
Yeah.
Very high up.
Yeah.
Wow.
David, I mean, for all his drinking and carrying on, he's in phenomenally good shape. I mean, he's a mountain climber, does all this stuff, and then... then he'll have this wheelchair weed. Remember at my party, he was the headliner at my 20th anniversary party. We're backstage with him, and he has this giant, this smells like it came from God knows where. Yeah. And he goes, "Take a hit of this kemosabe. This will send you to the spirit world."
When you asked, do I remember that at your party? I remember before that. Everything after, pretty much a blur.
You indulged on that?
Oh, my God.
You had a hit of that?
I took a hit, and it was the most powerful weed I've ever smoked in my life.
Smoked weed with David Lee Roth.
I sure did, yeah. And Brett Hamilton was there, and it was a fun night. It put me on my ass.
Okay. He was a headliner at my 20th anniversary party at the Spectrum that the station threw me, and... he was in great form, actually. He walked in this green Dayglo outfit with a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I walked on stage arm in arm with him. And this guy yells, "Dave," and he goes, "It must be my agent."
I'll never forget how friendly he was to you. It was really cool. He talked to you as if you guys had been pals for a long time, and it was neat to just say, "Hey, Pierre, how you doing? You know, what's been going on? Congrats on the 20 years." And it was genuine. You know, Dave is he's crazy. Like there are ups and downs with the guy, but I think that was a pretty genuine moment.
Just wish he would sing live and not talk through the song. That's my only beef, buddy.
I don't like talk singing.
Yeah. All right, well, you ready for the letter of the day, dude?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
The letter R is in rat, round and round.
And the letter R that we're in the A to Z, ma'am, all the way. We're gonna give away on, tomorrow, it's Friday, a Pizzique round barbecue and fire pit kit, and that's from Landis Block. Landis Block, start imagining your own backyard paradise. No, Nick, you can't win that. By looking at the photo gallery online at landisbc.com. So give it away tomorrow. What's on the program today?
Well, I'm looking at the R's you've covered. You had Romeo and Juliet from Dire Straits. Wow, very cool. Rooster, you had Rope. You had Rosalita, Rose Tattoo, Rough Boys, which was magnificent, round and round. And I will continue some rounds. We've got around here. We've got a roundabout. I think you know where those go. We have a young lady that begins with R. We have some rubies and some runs, and quite a lot of runs. And the running in one form or another.
Cheese.
will take us into the S. So
That's
I should
great.
Conclude the R category and begin the S category.
Another great category. Yes.
Yeah. And the S and the T's tend to be very long because unlike a normal library, we have songs that begin with the. Any song that begins with the is in our T category, which should not be the way it would be in a library.
Well, whatever it is, that adds an element of it makes it more interesting because you're guessing.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the does. You ain't kidding, man.
What page are we on now?
We are on page 29.
And there's like how many more? 40.
Chuck was saying there's like how many more hundred songs?
There's over 800 songs left. So page 42 is where we go to. And how many songs are? And I have to count them all. I'm not going to sit here and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9, 5, 4, 7.
There you go. 7.
Oh, I could do the math.
Yeah. 1624 minus 1569.
Nick, go.
What? 100 something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's over 100 per page. Over 100 per page. All right. Cool, man. No. It's going to be good.
We shall have fun.
I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Rita's. You can try Reese's Peanut Butter Mudslide Treats at Rita's. And also Sequoia Outback. You can experience the ultimate in outdoor living at DeckSupplies.com. Tomorrow morning's Friday, so no sad, bro. There will be no sad. And we'll also have comedian Matthew Broussard on the program. And whatever things we haven't given away yet, we will give away. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you.
Line.
I see a lot of people driving in a car by themselves wearing a mask. Isn't that kind of like thinking if you fart, your underwear will keep the smell out?
Next message.
My Friday. All you f***ers got to go on to work tomorrow. I'm going to be waking up at 10 o'clock, drinking coffee, eating cereal, and just thinking about how all you f***ers are still at work. Too bad.
Next message.
I'm not Jeff Gordon. I'm not Baby Driver. I'm not even a f***ing UPS driver. But why does it seem like when I get on the road, I'm the only one that knows how to f***ing drive? Go, assholes.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.